picks. It will happen very shortly for Philadelphia. The 15th pick in the first round, the 46th pick, the first of two second-round picks, and the Eagles have been putting in the work. Howie Roseman leading the way, Eagles general manager. This 2012 NFL draft about to begin. I'm Dave Spadaro, joined by the great Merrill Reese. It's Eagles Draft Live, presented by Deaton Watson. Welcome to our Xfinity studio here at the NovaCare Complex. Merrill Reese, it's great to have you back for another year.
Another year, and I'm excited, Dave. To me, this is the most exciting off-the-field event in all of sports. There is nothing like the NFL draft.
It is certainly a spectacle. We've been paying attention to it for weeks. Obviously, everything intensifies today, Merrill.
Now, we won't go overboard, but I know who thinks that the draft is so big that the only reason for playing the NFL season is to determine the order of the draft.
You know, I was over at the Eagles draft party at Lincoln Financial Field, about 4 o'clock, 4:30, and there were 75, 80 people. We take a live look right now at the party. You can see it is a packed house at the SCA Club over at Lincoln Financial Field. Everybody milling around, Merrill, wanting to know what the Eagles are going to do. We have plenty of time, I think, to talk about that as the Eagles slated for the 15th pick overall. I have my thoughts. You have your thoughts. We've got a great weekend ahead with three days of the NFL draft, the Brian Dawkins retirement press conference on Saturday.
Maybe we can draft him again.
Would not be a bad idea, but really just a great weekend all around. And let's talk a little bit, Merrill, about the Eagles and their approach to this point. Your opinion of this roster as it stands now, and then just kind of the way the Eagles have done things in the offseason.
Well, I will give you my areas of need. I still think this team can use another outstanding playmaking linebacker to go along with DeMeco Ryans, which I thought was a tremendous offseason acquisition. But if they were to come up with another impact linebacker, I think that would be huge. Not any linebacker, but there are two in particular.
Okay, on your wish
list
here.
Like.
All right.
Number one on my wish list is Luke Kuechly, the middle linebacker out of Boston College. He's outstanding. I think I mentioned to you that our old friend John Bunning, former Eagle, former defensive coordinator of the Rams, head coach at North Carolina, has worked with Kuechly since his college football days ended at BC. And he said he is the best young linebacker he's ever seen. He's only 20 years old. He was a true junior. He's 242 solid pounds. John said he is fast enough to cover Rob Gronkowski, which is a great measuring stick. He knows every position on the field. He's a signal caller. He is fundamentally sound. He's a great tackler, and he's got incredible instincts.
Okay.
So I could not have gotten a better endorsement from anybody who I respect more than John Bunning.
All right.
I also like, if they were to move up, they would have to move up, obviously, the defensive tackle from Mississippi State, Fletcher Cox. Now, he could go in the first handful of picks, and that might be impossible to go up and get him. But those would be the two that I really see out there. There are other people who you might be able to sit at 15 and get. There's been a lot of talk about the safety, Mark Barons from Alabama. Some see him going to Dallas at 14, but he is an exceptional safety. I like Dante Hightower, who's a bigger, less mobile linebacker than Kuechly, but still a powerful presence. He played for Alabama.
I think
they're all good, but
those are your four on the wish list.
They would be the top four on my wish list.
All right, well, we'll talk about that. We've got a lot of time to talk about the Colts are on the clock. Of course, they're going to take Andrew Luck. We've got a great show for you tonight and throughout the weekend. We are stationed throughout the NovaCare Complex over at Lincoln Financial Field, as well as up in New York City at Radio City Music Hall. So we're going to have the very, very latest. And, in fact, we will probably announce things here just a little bit before you see it on television. So make sure you stay with us throughout the night and throughout the weekend. The Eagles have 10 draft picks, 15, 46, and 51 in the first two rounds. Howie Roseman telling me earlier, and we'll get to that interview in just a bit, that Eagles having 27 players rated as first-round picks, more in the second round. We expect a lot of movement. Will the Eagles be one of those teams that goes up in round one? Let's throw it into the auditorium. Bo Wolf with Adam Kaplan, our NFL analyst. Already some movement, guys, at the top of the draft order.
That's right, Dave, and thank you very much. And Adam, the Cleveland Browns and our old friend Tom Heckert package a fourth, a fifth, and a seventh round pick to the Minnesota Vikings to move up one spot reportedly to take Alabama running back Trent Richardson. Why does this make sense for the Browns?
It's real simple, Bo. When you look at the Browns' offense last season, they struggled mightily to move the football on the ground and in the air. You could alleviate that problem by selecting the best running back in this draft by far in Trent Richardson. That's the guy I believe, and many believe, that they've traded up for. And why do they do it? They want to make sure the Tampa Bay Bucs, who everyone thought wanted Richardson, can't do that. Now they've been able to accomplish that. They've shut the Bucs out for that. And that could have a trickle-down effect, because if the Bucs had Richardson on their board as the guy they wanted, do they even keep the pick? And the Vikings, they only moved one spot. They could get a guy like Claiborne, who they love, or Matt Khalil, who they love, could be their new left tackle. So it's very intriguing. But I didn't think of this. I was expecting some fireworks, but not this early.
Yeah, and Andrew Luck just announced as the number one overall pick for the Indianapolis Colts. But, Adam, the Vikings may not be done. We expect a lot of movement here in the top 10, right?
Yeah, and remember, because of the new CBA, the guaranteed money in the top 10 picks is significantly less. This brings in more conversation. Before, teams were just, they'd have conversations, but nothing serious because the money was too great. Now the money is less. Teams are more active. Teams have been talking all day. The Minnesota Vikings have been talking all week about moving down. They've accomplished this very easily. They've got a good draft bounty. Rick Spielman, their GM, wants to build through the draft, not through a free agency. He's able to do that. And Marsh Claiborne, the best defensive back for this draft, perhaps. He could hear his name very early, perhaps as early as number 5.
So which teams would be looking to move up, and what players would be targeted to move up for?
And I think Fletcher Cox, the D-tackle for Mississippi State, is a guy that a lot of people want. There's no question about it. Everyone has been talking about the Eagles. There are a lot of teams that like him. And when you look at players that maybe drop one or two spots where you didn't think that would happen, that creates trade activity because teams are like, wow, I didn't think he'd drop like that. Let's try to get up there. But no one's really dropped yet. That's the thing. We have the one trade. But the key thing here is, what do the Bucs do now that Richardson's off the board? Because they could try to trade out of that pick. This is fascinating, but we could have even more trades in the top 10.
And the Eagles, of course, have 2 second-round picks, 46 and 51, if they want the ammunition to move up.
Exactly.
But certainly figures to be an exciting night. We send it back to Dave and Merrill in the studio.
All right, very much. Thanks very much, guys. Good stuff there. Merrill, they want to know what Tampa Bay is going to do with their pick. What do you believe they will do?
Dave, I spoke to Dan Shanka. You know Dan. Mm-hmm. He was an Eagle scout, a Redskins scout, a Chiefs scout. Now he's the publisher of Our Lad's Guide to the NFL Draft out in Hiawatha, Iowa. And he told me less than an hour ago, do not be surprised if Tampa Bay moves at the 5th spot for Luke Kuechly. That's how highly they think of Kuechly. Kuechly, a guy who was expected to stay till 15, and originally has moved as far as a possibility to go to Tampa Bay. He also said, I said to him, what did you do in terms of your mock draft, their latest mock draft, which was done this afternoon, as far as the Eagles were concerned? And he said, we had them staying at 15 and coming away with Michael Brockers, the defensive tackle from LSU.
Well, we will see what happens, Merrill. Thank you very much for that. And Dan Shanka certainly knows what's going on in the NFL. All right, we're going to take a little break right now. It's Eagles Draft Live presented by Dietz and Watson. So much more to get to, including exclusive interview with head coach Andy Reid. That will follow the break here. We'll speak to Howie Roseman down the line as well. They are getting ready. What happens when things get around picks 4, 5, 6, 7? Do the Eagles make the move up? Maybe we'll get a clue from the head coach in just a moment. It's Eagles Draft Live presented by Dietz and Watson.
Head injuries in sports that are caused by a blow to the head. Typical symptoms of a concussion include headache, dizziness, vision disturbance, loss of balance, confusion, and memory loss. An athlete cannot return to play until all symptoms of a concussion resolve and they are cleared by an experienced physician. If you have sustained a concussion or any other sports-related injury, Make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
Eagles Draft Live, presented by Philadelphia's own Dietz & Watson, home of the finest premium meats and artisan cheeses. Score all season long with delicious grilling recipes like the Philly Frank, Texas Chili Dog, barbecue sausage skewers, and many more. Visit Dietz & Watson on Facebook or at DietzandWatson.com to find out how to turn your next barbecue into a grillibration.
We're the mother of all meats.
Seen the signs on the passers-by, something's got to give. Can't be free if it's good for me, but this good thing comes along and I can't hide too long.
Saving people money on more than just car insurance.
Talk about the Asante Samuel deal and the thinking behind that deal and now how you look at the cornerback position.
Well, we feel like we're solid at cornerback, you know, between DRC and Nam. So, and then I think we did a good job drafting last year. So we've got some good young players there that have an opportunity to step up and play. And as you know, in the National Football League, I mean, this is the name of the game. I mean, times are always changing. So Sante came in, did a heck of a job for us. I mean, a phenomenal job for us for the 4 years. We just felt that it was time to separate and move different in a different direction. And at the same time, give Asante an opportunity to go someplace where he's close to home and close to family, to his children and mom and sister. So it all kind of worked out well, as opposed to releasing them or something of that sort. This was a win-win from our standpoint, and I feel like Atlanta probably feels the same way.
Does it signify that you want to play a different kind of style in terms of your coverage, in terms of your cornerbacks?
Well, listen, Asante is a great player. I don't want to say anything that's negative towards Asante. We did, however, work coverages to his strengths, which was a plus, obviously, for that's kind of what you do as a coach. The two corners that we have now are a little bit different. They enjoy playing man coverage and getting up there and banging people around and doing that, as you saw when they both were on the field at the same time. So it's just a little different thought. Not that one's better than the other necessarily, but it gives you a little bit more flexibility to do a couple different things.
Andy, some people say, hey, well, you trade Asante, there's now a need at the cornerback position. How do you look at that going into the draft?
Well, I wouldn't say that. Yeah, no, I would not say that. You know, we drafted Marsh last year, who we think is a good football player. Again, Marsh is somebody that's big and physical, can get up and bump and run you. He can play off if needed. He's got a nice repertoire. He's young, so he's learning, but he's got some good senior veteran leadership there that he can learn from and has learned from this past year. So it's like I said, as you know, the National Football League's always changing. This gives us that opportunity where we're really we don't have to go into the draft saying, oh, we need a corner. That's not we wouldn't put ourselves in that position. That's not a good position to be in as you enter the draft. You can't predict a stinking thing in this draft. You learn that over the years of who's going to be where. And so I think one great thing that Howie's done this offseason is he's gone through and he signed our players, that we are young players. And it's just been it's been very healthy and I think for our football team right now. And it allows us to go into this draft without really any immediate needs. And so that's how you'd like it. You'd like to be sitting there at 15, if that's what you choose to do. You always have that option to move up or move down, but sit there at 15 and then just take the best player. You say it, well, this gives you an opportunity to do it without forcing a hand.
What have you learned about the team since the off-season conditioning program started? Not, I mean, they're not pads or anything, but at least you get to eyeball the guys.
Well, I'll tell you, the guys came back in good shape, number one. We've got a strength staff that I'll put up against anybody, and they're creative guys, and the guys, I think, are enjoying the workouts that they're doing. This first phase is that. It's our emphasis is on strength and conditioning, and then the players are allowed to meet with the coaches. That phase ended today. So we pick up the second phase next week, next Monday, and that phase will begin with the same thing, with lifting, meetings, and then the coaches are allowed to go on the field without offense going against defense. They just can work drills. But I would tell you, as a whole, you're seeing a group that's upbeat. They're excited to be back. They know they finished the season strong, even though every year is different, and I understand that, but there's a positive feeling there that I think is important that you carry through demanding workouts during the offseason, and that's what's happening right now.
Haven't had a chance to talk to you since signing Demetrius Bell. Can you talk about him, how he fits in, and moving forward that offensive line as a group?
Right. Well, you take a negative and what happened with Jason, and you fill it in with Demetrius and re-signing King, and all of a sudden your line went from, oh, boy, maybe there's a little bit of an issue, to, hey, we're back. We're okay. We're going to be strong. We're going to be able to protect Mike. We're going to be able to open the holes for McCoy. We're going to be able to do these things that we need to do to be a very strong, functional, aggressive attack mode offense and offensive line.
Michael Vick's first offseason as the starter, you've talked a lot about it since last year. What kind of growth do you see, again, without pads on, without working in football, but what does he gain from being here every day?
Spence, I'll tell you what's awesome is a lot of these guys, this is their first offseason with us. And so here's Michael, who you look at this veteran player. Well, really, it's his first offseason as a starter with the Philadelphia Eagles. So he hasn't left. Since the season ended, I mean, he's been here. And he's been on his own. He was going in the film room and going back through the whole season on his own. Now, coaches couldn't be there. That those are the rules. And so he did that on his own. He worked out, probably took a week off right after, but then he just started going. And he's continued that. He's been here every day. He's working aggressive, hard, meeting with the coaches now, and look forward to allowing the coaches to get out there with him next week and throw. But the timing's there. The timing with his receivers, he had him out there working with them. One of the asterisks on the phase one workout is the only people that can have a ball on the field. Now, remember, there's no coaches, but the only people that can have a ball on the field is your quarterback, receivers, running backs, and tight end. So they've all been out there doing their thing without any coaching, and Michael's been in charge of that, and he's been leading that and doing a nice job with it.
So it's round one tonight, second year of this format, right? Third year of this format? Second year of this format. What did you learn last year from it? What's it like to sit here a few hours before the draft? What goes through your mind?
Well, it's a long day. I mean, this is like playing a Monday night game, right? So you're looking at 8 p.m. Eastern time that we're starting this thing, and because we were still in this phase one period this morning, all the coaches were in early, and then I kicked them out of here, got them out after they got done with the players, got all the players out of here, and then everybody will come back 2 hours before the draft starts. Coaches, I'm saying, players, they're staying out. The coaches will come back 2 hours before the draft starts, and then they'll be here and doing some work. But it's a long day. It's exciting. You have no idea where you're sitting at 15, what's going to be available. There'll be a lot of exciting things, I'm sure, happen between at least pick three and pick 15. So we'll just see how it goes. I think we're well prepared. I think Howie's done a phenomenal job organizing it and getting everybody on the same page. And so it's an exciting time.
Are there, quote, impact players available, 15? Are there 15 impact players in this draft?
Well, when you really study the draft, there's your line happens right at 15, 16 normally. And so there's some good football. We're going to end up with a good football player. So, and then obviously time tells on that. But right there's a division there normally that happens right around 15, 16, depending on the strength of the draft in the first round. I think you've heard people say that they look at the strength of the draft being more in that second, third, fourth round. I'd probably agree with it to a point, but that doesn't mean in the first round that you can't get yourself one heck of a football player. So that's what we're focused on.
Is it all about scenarios right now? Do you kind of just keep an open mind and really truly not know right now, Andy Reid, who are you going to pick? You it's all about where you pick.
Well, this is what you do, is you stack the players. So from 1 to 100, who you feel are the best of the worst, or not even the worst. I mean, you're still at 100. You've got a great bunch of great football players. But from high to low, is that a better way of saying it? All right, so high to low, you're stacking the players. And then you trust that board. So you get to the point where this is X is sitting there waiting on you. Hey, go knock them out, right? And we always keep our options open to move up or move down. But, again, you trust your board. That's what you do.
A lot of teams want to move out, do you think? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10?
Well, that's what you're hearing right now. I mean, that's the pre-draft rumor is people are sitting there everywhere from 5 on down. They're trying to move back into that lower first-round, second-round area. So we'll see. I mean, is it real? You don't know until you get on the clock. You try to do all your homework and you communicate with the guys during the day and the different teams during the day and to see exactly what people are doing to get a little bit of a feel on what people are thinking. But you don't know until that clock sounds and you're rolling.
Did you accomplish everything you wanted to accomplish from the end of the season to leading to this moment?
Well, I feel we did, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think we re-signed our guys, which I thought that was very important. That was one of our goals starting this off season. We brought in D'Amico Ryans, which I thought was very important. I just you bring in that good veteran leadership, a proven Pro Bowl player. So that part's exciting. And he has all the intangibles that he brings with him, which is good stuff for our defense. So we've got a good solid coaching staff. So that's a plus. We were able to maintain most of our guys here. We added Todd Bowles, who's a veteran coach, veteran player, veteran coach, Temple grad, right? So those are all positive things that I think are going to help our football team in the long run.
Do you get excited at 8:01 when it begins?
Well, I do. It's kind of, you know, Ryan didn't leave anything to the imagination. I mean, yeah. He's already, he slam dunked him, and I I'm all in with him. So that's a great pickup that's Ryan Grigson. So it's a great pickup for Ryan and the Colts. They get an Andrew. You can't lose with an Andrew, right? Doggone it. So they got an Andrew and that has a little luck with them. So they're going to do okay. And then I think Washington is going to better themselves with RG3. So we're going to have to get on top of our A game, man. The NFC East all of a sudden is going to rise up even another notch, even coming off a Super Bowl championship. So, you know, I like the way that's going to start. That's a good thing. And that's exciting.
Thanks, Coach. Good luck to you.
All right, suppose.
Yeah, he's a rescue dog. Name's Wego. What
kind of name is that?
Call him.
Here we go.
No.
Yep.
Here we go.
Here we go.
It's the sure sign of a good time. Just right taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Teva Pharmaceuticals is the proud sponsor of Eagles in the Community. For more information on the program, click the Community tab right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We had a great 2011 and look forward to an even better 2012. Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Eagles in the Community.
On June 9th, all the kings of power are coming. The event's all points, Monster Jazz, Path of Destruction. 16 Monster Jam superstars tear up Philadelphia, including world champions Medusa, Monster Mutt, El Toro Loco. Direct from his World Finals win, 10-time world champion Maximum Destruction, driven by Tom Metz. And back for his 30th anniversary celebration, 4-time world champion 3-Gear, driven by Dennis Anderson. Plus, kids' seats are still just $10. June 9th, Lincoln Financial Field.
Eagles Draft Live, presented by Philadelphia's own Dietz & Watson. Score all season long with delicious grilling recipes like the Philly Frank, Texas Chili Dog, barbecue sausage skewers, and many more.
We're the mother of all meats.
We want to protect the house.
Right.
But
home security systems can be really expensive. So to save money, we actually just adopted a rescue panther. We find that we don't need to sleep that much.
There's an easier way to save. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Well, the draft is moving fast and furious. Already 4 selections made. Andrew Luck, Robert Griffin III, Trent Richardson goes to Cleveland in the trade up. And then Matt Khalil, Minnesota Vikings, selecting him. Jacksonville has traded with Tampa Bay, Merrill, to go from 7 to 5. Tampa Bay gets the 7th pick as well as a 4th round pick. No surprises in terms of the names, but the order obviously has changed.
Yeah, it's a little bit off right now, but it seems to be a foregone conclusion that Jacksonville is going to take Justin Blackmon, the wide receiver from Oklahoma State, who I think is just a tremendous player.
Yeah, good player. And, hey, let's say hello to all the fans over at Lincoln Financial Field there for the draft party, guys. We're going to get to you soon. They're just kind of hanging around, waiting, watching, wondering when the Eagles will make their selection. And that should be coming up very shortly here. The Eagles with the 15th pick in this draft. We're going to have all the coverage for you right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We'll announce the pick. We'll have Andy Reid's press conference, Howie Roseman's press conference, and we will be the first to speak to the newest Philadelphia Eagles. So good crowd over there. Look forward to talking to them later. I'd like to bring in Bo Wolf and Adam Kaplan, especially Adam right now. Adam, we have seen 2 trades made. The Cleveland Browns give up the 1 first-round draft pick. They give up a 4th-round pick, a 5th-round pick, a 7th-round pick to move up 1 spot. And then Jacksonville gives up an additional 4th-round pick to get up a couple of spots to the 5th pick. It seems like the value of those high picks, very, very high.
It is, Dave. And I think what we're also seeing is because now 4 of the top 5 picks have been traded. These teams are so concerned with another team trading up ahead of them, Bo. And that's why they did it. And the Jaguars badly needed a receiver. That's been, as you know, a problem for them in the first round. But Justin Blackmon, you never want to say can't miss. Very, very good football player. Very, very productive.
And a guy in Blaine Gabbert who they drafted
last year, traded up last year to get Blaine Gabbert. He struggled mightily as a rookie. They wanted to get him a tool to throw to.
Yeah, and this helps them. Now they have LaRon Robinson, who they signed
a
free
guys,
agency.
Yes. Guys, we got a little news. Dallas moves up to number 6.
Oh, my
goodness.
Wow. Apparently with
so
their
let's
pick.
See. Maurice Claiborne, maybe? He would be the guy who slipped
that,
to the top.
Fletcher Cox. I can't imagine. Now, I have Mark Barron in my mock draft, but at 14, why would they go that high? Do they want a strong safety that
badly?
Well,
I can tell you that, listen, Charlie Casserly, when he was in here last week, said that he had Mark Barron as the 6th-rated player in this draft.
And the Cowboys have been rumored to be very much all over Barron this whole time. They knew that he wasn't going to get to them at 14. Maybe they had to move
up. Yeah, but I can't imagine that they would go all the way up to 6 to get Mark Barron.
Well, Merrill, you know from calling their games, and we know from watching them, they've had significant problems at strong safety. They've tried so many different guys. Their pass coverage, they don't cover tight ends well. And by the way, one thing I do want to note here, the new CBA with the guaranteed money well down in the top 10, that's why we're seeing all this movement.
Now, remember the Cowboys signed Brandon Carr to a big money deal to play cornerback in
free
agency. So Claiborne, maybe not, maybe Barron. Or it could be Fletcher Cox, too.
And here we go, guys. A tweet from Rich Simini up at ESPN New York says that agent Ethan Locke tells ESPN's Sal Pal that Eagles are calling about Chandler Jones.
Yes, we've heard that. Now, you have to wonder whether that's a bit of a smokescreen, because you know that anything you tell an agent at this point, so far ahead of time, it's going to get around a little bit. But maybe Chandler Jones, a guy who is drawing comparisons physically to Jason Pierre-Paul, he could be a beast in the wide nine.
Yeah, and Dave, in your segment with Greg Cosell said in his mock draft, hey, here's why I like Chandler Jones to play a specific role. He could play nickel right away. And then as he gets older and he needs to get stronger, he's long, he's got long arms.
Unless Adam and you and I kind of talked about this before the show began, unless you are trading Darrell Tapp, for example.
Right.
Getting a defensive end here when you've got Babin and Cole and you're counting on Phillip Hunt to be a big contributor, as well as a former first-round draft pick, Brandon Graham. This kid, if you take him, if the Eagles take him, his ranking must be so much higher than anybody else
on their board. And remember, we didn't even talk about Phillip Hunt. I mean, the Eagles are 5 deep at DN. You're right, Dave. Brandon Graham's got to play this season. We've been talking about this for months on Eagles Live. So this is a surprise to me. Not that he's not a good player, but this is the guy they have so high on the draft board. Again, this is all speculation. Nobody even knows if this is true. But it makes it interesting discussion because Greg Cosell saw it. I'm surprised that Greg came out with that but again, when he does his mock draft, Bo, you know this. It's not about who he thinks are drafting.
Sure.
It's about who he thinks would fit in best.
Well, listen, Adam, we've talked about this ad nauseum. It's not about need in the first round. You take the best available player,
and if
Chandler Jones is the top of their board, a guy who they think can wreak havoc in the backfield as a sack artist, then you got to take him.
Yeah.
And what is it?
Justin Blackman, by the way, guys, he does go to Jacksonville. Okay.
Chandler Jones, though, by a lot of draft experts, is ranked as somebody you could stand in the second round and get. He's not a unanimous first round pick.
I don't know. Merrill, he's one of those players whose name has emerged from nowhere in the last week, and we'll see what happens when the Eagles.
I'm not saying he's not a good football player, but he does not seem to be. I've seen a lot of mock drafts. I haven't seen him picked that highly by anybody.
So, Dave, do we have word on the confirmation of the compensation for the Cowboys moving up?
Because I do not know that. What did the Cowboys give up?
The Rams, they started off.
Wait
at
a minute,
number
they gave
two.
Up their first round pick and a second round pick, and that's it.
Well, it's interesting, Dave. I put this out earlier today that the Rams, according to several executives, have been trying to get out of that pick. And that Fletcher Cox was a smokescreen. It looks like I'm right about that. However, who does Dallas want? I'm really fascinated by this. We talked about Mark Barron, Bo. We talked about maybe a corner, Maurice Claiborne. And by the way, he's probably the best player if you talk to a lot of people. He's the best player on the board. Who else would they be looking at?
Well, don't forget that your friend Greg Cosell has Stephon Gilmore rated ahead of Maurice Claiborne, cornerback. But I think the thing to remember, if it is Barron at 6, is that the distance between Barron and the next safety in this class
is
said to be a terrible safety class.
You're right. You're,
Barron's the only guy who maybe could come in and start.
Excellent point,
right away.
And I think teams are seeing this. They're getting their guy on their draft board who's the highest, and they're willing to trade up for him and give a lot up. Now, Stephon Gilmore is a big-time talent. And one thing I do want to add, because he can play inside, they're not doing well with Orlando Scandrick as their nickel. With the Cowboys, they did sign him to an extension a couple years ago, but he has not performed well. And remember,
when you look at their cornerback situation, they're not very deep. I think it's got to be either Gilmore or Barron, because Gerald Sensabaugh can't cover me. So to me, they've got to look at – I think Barron, again, we're all guessing here, but Fletcher Cox, they've had problems at defensive end. To me, it's either Cox or Barron. We'll see.
Very interesting. Two top 10 picks coming into the NFC East for the foreseeable future. Dave, back to you. I think we're going to hear a little bit from Mr. Howie Roseman.
Yeah, we got. It sounds like that Dallas Cowboys are going to take Claiborne.
I would think Claiborne. I couldn't see Barron going that high.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. We don't know. This is territory. Adam, let me ask you this, if we could. Would it have taken the Eagles to go from 15 to 6? Would it have taken their second-round pick and one of those second-round picks and something else to get there?
You and I, we were talking earlier before the show, and I said it's at least a two and more. It's fascinating because these teams have been talking all week about moving up, moving down, and so forth, but Dallas was the one. They want to get their guy. Now, I wonder, had Claiborne not dropped, would have they done this?
That's a good question, and then don't forget. Seven there is the Bucs. Merrill talked about maybe Luke Kuechly there. If it goes to 8, would the Eagles look to maybe move up to 8 if Fletcher Cox is their guy?
It's a good question.
They might not have to, because at 8, a lot of people think Miami is going to take Ryan Tannehill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's been pressure from the owner.
Gosh, I would trade out of that
Mike
pick.
Sherman is there.
I would not.
Let me add this, guys. Remember, though, at 9, the Carolina Panthers need D-tackle help, and Fletcher Cox is a guy. They've been all over. I know that for a fact. Now, this is incredible. I don't know if this has happened before. The first six out of the first seven picks have been traded, Bo. This is insane.
It's crazy. Fascinating.
It's great.
It's Claiborne is the pick for the Dallas Cowboys. So Morris Claiborne goes to the Cowboys.
Great value.
All right,
value,
so we are now on pick number 7. It's a good time, guys, for us to go from you to us and now to Howie Roseman, whom we interviewed just a short time ago. Howie Roseman, the Eagles general manager, not telling us, of course, what they're going to do, but I got the sense that the Eagles wouldn't trade up too much, so... You got him ready to go? Let's do Howie Roseman just a short time ago in the NovaCare Complex. Howie, let's start with the Asante Samuel trade. Could you take us inside the deal, how it happened, and what you think of the whole package there?
Well, first, we want to thank Asante Samuel for his contributions to our football teams throughout the years. I can't tell you how much I appreciated not only his play on the field, but off the field, being able to have a relationship that we developed. And we wish him and his family all the best as he goes to Atlanta. Obviously, that's a hard thing when you're trading a Pro Bowl cornerback. But because of the situation we're in now, because of the scheme that we play, and his desire to kind of go back to the South for family reasons, we try to accommodate that the best we could.
Was it a deal that was long in the making? I mean, there's been so much speculation about the possibility that he could get traded.
Well, first of all, you want to give credit to the Atlanta Falcons organization, Thomas Dimitroff, their owner Arthur Blank, and their head coach Mike Smith, for really trying to work with us to find a solution that, although probably not ideal, was a win-win based on circumstances.
So this gives you a lot of cap room. Question that I couldn't answer, if the Eagles had released Asante, would there have been a cap hit against the team?
It's the same cap hit, whether you trade him or you release him. And I think when we look at the cap room, obviously we have some flexibility in 2012. But the cap is now going to be less than we had anticipated going forward in 2013, 2014. And when you look at our roster, we have a lot of players that we want to keep here for a long time that are making some money at their respective positions. Plus, we have some guys coming up towards their contracts. And we've been very open about LaShawn being one of those guys, signing and retaining our own players. So for us, this wasn't only about 2012 cap room, but obviously now with the way the rules are, you can push forward money into the future. So we've looked at this not only in a box of 1 year, but the next couple of years.
You have 10 draft picks. You feel good about that kind of arsenal going into what is supposed to be a very deep draft?
We're so excited about this draft. We've spent a lot of time going through scenarios, focusing on our draft board, really isolating tiers on our draft board, and we're just excited to knock those players out.
So when you say tiers, is that strength in different rounds? Can you kind of explain that in layman's terms?
Yeah, that separates the players. That helps us separate players. So if we have a couple of guys that, based on our definitions of the players, separate, even though the grades aren't so far apart, there's a little gap there. We know if our pick's coming up in 3 picks and there's only one guy left in that tier, maybe we go up and get him.
How many scenarios do you draw up for tonight? I mean, is there a way to quantify that?
when we talk, Andy and I mentioned the Pythagorean theory. You ever hear about that? You know, you feel like a mathematician, and you spend a lot of time going through everything because you don't want to get into the room and have a team on the clock or have a player scenario on the clock and going, what should we do now? As we've talked about all through the offseason, calm times, calm decisions. So we think we've gotten it to a point where we know every scenario that we can encounter for the first round. We've talked about rounds after that, what we're going to do. It changes, though. If you're really sticking to this best player available scenario that we talk about, then you can't get in a situation where you're projecting too much who you're going to take in the third and fourth round because you don't know who's going to be there.
So it's a genuine best player on the board scenario, which means that any position, even defensive end, where you look like you're five deep, is a possibility.
I think you have to look at it that way. I think when we go back and look at the successful drafts we've had and other teams have had, that's how it's gone, and you never can project where you're going to be a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now. And if we're talking about the long-term best interest of the Philadelphia Eagles, if you stick to that best player available, some great things can happen.
Go into this thing with a handful of maybe four or five names and say, if this is the scenario and these five names are here, we're going to go off the top. I mean, is that kind of how it works?
That's how it works.
Okay. But how strong is this first round?
We have 27 players graded as first rounders. We have more than 32 graded as second rounders, which we haven't had the past couple of years. And hopefully that's not just because we have two second rounders that we've kind of gone off the board. And I think that it's deep. I think there's a drop-off in talent at a point in the first round, and then it kind of still goes to first-round grades, but it goes from maybe elite, really feeling good about it, to solid starters. And where we're picking, you're going to have an opportunity. Can't tell you exactly what the opportunity is going to be, but we're going to feel good about whoever we bring to this team.
What do you anticipate early in the draft? A lot of teams trying to get out of that top 10?
I still think it's going to be difficult. I know there's a lot of talk about a lot more trades, and the salaries do help it, but if there are a bunch of guys stacked together on your board, are you going to go up and trade a bunch of picks to get a player maybe that's in that same tier? So it's all based on the grades that teams have and then the willingness of them to move up some picks.
Okay. Great opportunity for the Eagles tonight. Great opportunity for you, Hal. What kind of emotions do you have going into this thing, Howie?
It's a long day. You know, it's almost like a feeling of a night game. You get so excited for the night game, but you don't want to peak too soon. And so for us, we feel really prepared. We feel like it's a great opportunity based on what we did in the offseason. We came into the offseason, we said if we can take care of our own players, re-sign some of our own free agents, and then go into the draft and not look at our depth chart and say we have to. We may want to, but we don't have to, then we should have a great draft.
Thanks very much. Good luck tonight.
Thanks, you too.
June 9th, all the kings of power are coming. The Avenged Alpines, Monster Jazz, Wrath of Destruction. 16 Monster Jam superstars tear up Philadelphia, including world champions Medusa, Monster Mutt, El Toro Loco. Direct from his World Finals win, 10-time world champion Maximum Destruction, driven by Tom Mix. And back for his 30th anniversary celebration, 4-time world champion Redeal, driven by Dennis Anderson. Plus, his seats are still just $10. June 9th, Lincoln Financial Field.
Apartment isn't that far away.
It's more than 2 miles away.
Destroyed Razor Motorola is Verizon for you. When you slash Skype. This is GPS.
Will that make me know?
I'll go get two from the back.
Okay.
This Mother's Day, get the Droid Razor by Motorola. Only $99.99. The lowest price ever. Verizon.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of long weekends and longer retirements. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
You know, weight loss programs can be expensive, so to save some money, I just got the popular girls from the local middle school to follow me around.
Ew. Seriously?
So gross.
Ew. Seriously?
That is so gross.
Ew. Seriously?
Dude, that is so totally gross.
Sign up.
There's an easier way to save. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
All right, we're back. Dave Spadaro, Merrill Reese in our Xfinity studio here. The Miami Dolphins on the clock with the eighth pick overall. Let's get you caught up on what has gone down. The Dallas Cowboys have made their pick at number six, Morris Claiborne, outstanding cornerback from LSU. And then Tampa Bay goes safety, Mark Barron, Alabama. Merrill, your quick reaction.
Well, I'm not shocked by any of this. I can tell you that neither of those players were on my wish list for the Eagles. There are still some of those coveted players out there, although the Eagles are still probably going to have to trade up to get Fletcher Cox or to get Luke Kuechly.
Okay, now the Dolphins, the pick is in. The thinking is that they go Ryan Tannehill, quarterback, Texas A&M.
Sure.
Bo Wolf and Adam Kaplan inside our auditorium across the hallway here. Give me some analysis here, guys, of what has transpired and if the Eagles are to move up, some targets, prices they'd have to pay.
Well, Adam, first of all, the Cowboys gave up a second-round pick to move from 14 to 6. So if the Eagles want to move up to 9 or 10, you would think that maybe a third-round pick would get the job done. They have the 88th overall pick. What do you think about that?
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think a third-round pick probably would do it. Now, who would their targets be at number 9? Fletcher Cox. We've talked about him. And here's the problem. Carolina spent a lot of time with him. They've had him in for a visit. They like him. They need a D-tackle. And don't forget the kid from South Carolina, the corner,
Stephon Gilmore
is still out there. Now, I thought he'd go in the top 10. This is the area. Carolina needs an upgrade over Captain Munnerlyn, who plays opposite Chris Gamble. I think that's another guy they might look at.
But Ryan Tannehill goes, right.
Yeah, which we expected, Dave. We expected Tannehill. In fact, I'm surprised.
What a mistake. Why did they not trade out of there?
Well, Dave, we all say that, but you need to find a trade partner.
Yeah, okay.
It's not easy, Dave.
But
easy.
Adam,
it's been pretty easy tonight.
Adam, you get, right, something and you move back a few spots. And nobody is taking Ryan Tannehill between here and 15, right?
Well, that's true. Unless they thought maybe Buffalo at 10, they've got.
Well, wait a minute.
He's a little older.
Seattle just signed Matt Flynn.
No, I agree. I think Seattle and Tannehill, it's got to be a smokescreen. It would make zero sense.
But they made a lot of noise about really liking Ryan Tannehill.
But on purpose, Merrill, I think. I think that's a smokescreen. But Cox and Gilmore, to me, at number 9, makes sense for Carolina, or trade options for the Eagles to get those guys. So 10.
And 10 would be an option, too. Buffalo said they've been wanting to move down. The other thing about that 10th pick is the years down the road guarantees the fifth, or it's, you can explain
it's a transition number. The top five, it's a transition number.
But once you get to 11, the money's less.
Right.
And you don't have those same rules. So it's fascinating to see what happens here. And we've six out of the first eight picks have been traded. Carolina's kind of a hotbed for a pick. You mentioned Buffalo. Kansas City, Scott Pioli loves to trade. He used to work with, of course, Bill Belichick. Michael Brockers is still out there. I know it's fascinating to see what could possibly happen here over the next 3 to 4 picks.
The other thing we wanted to quickly touch on was just the shape of the NFC East. Obviously, the Cowboys playing in a division with guys like DeSean Jackson, Jeremy Maclin, Hakeem Nicks, Victor Cruz, even the Redskins upgraded their guys. Clearly, they knew that secondary was going to be an issue.
Right. Great point. And Maurice Claiborne now gives you size and ability, the best corner overall for this draft. It's clear. They've had enough of Orlando Scandrick. They know that he can't be on the field as much. Mike Jenkins on last year of his rookie deal. And they signed Brandon Carr for big-time money, $25 million guaranteed, Bo. So, Dallas, you nailed it. This is a passing league. Robert Griffin third, Michael Vick. This is the division that's got some quarterbacks. This could, and, of course, the great Eli Manning.
Yeah. All right, guys, thanks very much. Merrill, I think Carolina here goes with Fletcher Cox myself.
I think they do, too. I think you're absolutely right. I think they go with Fletcher Cox. So we will see.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Michael Brockers, we haven't talked a lot about him, but he's a very rangy, big, tough defensive tackle from LSU who a lot of people think is good enough to be an impact player this year, who has a lot of growth ahead of him, and he would be a perfect defensive tackle for the wide nine that Jim Washburn runs. That Jim Washburn would just love having someone like him.
Well, while we are on the edge of our seats here at NovaCare Complex here in Lincoln Financial Field with the draft party, there is a third venue where Eagles fans are congregating, and that is Radio City Music Hall up in the Big Apple, New York City. And our very own E-Rock is there catching up with the Eagles fans and getting a feel for what they want tonight from their favorite football team.
Greetings from New York City Eagles fans. It's E-Rock here at the first round of the 2012 draft. And once again, Eagles fans are representing very well here at Radio City Music Hall. And all of them are very excited to have the 15th overall pick because they know that their team's coming home with one of the top prospects of any position across the board. Let's talk to a few Eagles fans now and see what they think the Birds should do with that 15th pick. All right, I'm here with my man Kevin. Now, it is 5 hours before the draft even starts. How long have you been waiting in line to get inside of there?
Well, today we've been here for about an hour, hour and a half, but yesterday we had to wait 5 hours to get our wristbands.
All right, what's your name, bro?
Corey.
Corey, you're at the NovaCare Complex. You're inside of the war room. What are you doing with that 15th overall pick?
Drafting Fletcher Cox.
So you want a defensive tackle with the 15th overall pick. Now, he might not be there at pick 15, so would you move up or move down in this year's first round?
I'll move up.
You move up?
Yeah.
And who do you think they should pick?
Cox.
All right, what's your name, bro?
Martelli. They know me as Brooklyn Eagle. I call the website all the time.
All right, very good. Now, the draft is kind of like Christmas, so if you were to put three positions on your draft Christmas list, what would they be?
Okay, I'd start off with that safety because we need the help in the backside. I mean, the guys have been doing a great job, Nate Allen and the kid Coleman, but we need some help. We need some assistance on that side. Now, outside linebacker, we got the middle linebacker covered up, but we need outside linebacker position. Outside of that, defensive tackle, if we could shore up the front line, the outside edges we're covered in, but the middle, if we can shore up the front line, put somebody next to Jenkins, the run, nobody will run on us.
It's E-Rock here inside of Radio City Music Hall with Nick DiPaolo, Artie Lang of Sirius XM Radio, and now of 94.1 WIP right here in Philadelphia. Eagles are picking at 15, all right? Got some needs on the defensive side of the ball. Where do you think they go with 15?
Defensive side of the ball. No, I don't know. I have no idea.
Who would you pick at 15?
I'll tell you who I like is this Andrew Luck kid. I don't think you can go wrong with him.
You guys got a big gig coming up in Philadelphia. Yeah, Tell us about it.
Well, we're going to do stand-up comedy at the legendary Tower Theater. May the 5th at the Tower.
All right, so I'm here with a couple of diehard Eagles fans. Who would you take with the 15th pick?
I want Mark Barron, safety out of Alabama.
And how about you, sir? Do you think the Eagles move up, stay put, or move down in the draft?
I say if we get a chance to move up, get past Dallas because they might be going at the same person.
Now, I remember this guy from last year's draft. He's what you call a day two diehard. He goes to the entire draft. How many consecutive drafts is this for you?
I've been going since 1989.
All right, pick 15. Eagles are on the clock. Who you picking?
Fletcher Cox.
He's picking Fletcher Cox. Hey, let me ask you something, buddy. Who would you rather have, Mark Sanchez or Tim Tebow at quarterback for the Jets?
Man, the best.
It doesn't matter because neither one can throw, dude. All right, what's your name, my man?
Luke.
All right, Luke, and obviously you're a big fan because you brought your autographed ball here. Eagles are picking at 15. Who should they take with that 15th pick?
Courtney Upshaw.
Really, Courtney Upshaw?
Yeah.
That's a surprise pick, but I like that pick. Nice job, my man. We're picking at 15. Great pick, all right? But Andy Reid has had a history of moving up, moving down. Do you think they pick at 15, or do you think they go somewhere else?
They move down. They move closer in the first round, probably to number 7 with Jacksonville.
Okay, so you think they move it now. If they're going to move all the way up to 7, it's got to be a special player. Who's your pick?
Fletcher Cox, defensive tackle out of Mississippi State.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
Very, very well done, E-Rock. Thank you very much. I like Luke, who said, well, of course I want Courtney Upshaw.
Courtney Upshaw.
Duh, I just said it.
You know, Courtney
Merle,
Upshaw.
Who do you want?
Well, I no longer want Luke Kuechly.
No. You can't get Luke. Hey, let me tell you this.
Carolina got a good football
every
player.
Every single year we go through this with Merrill, and he wants a player. He wants somebody all the time.
But I'm resilient.
And you never get the guy
you
want.
I am resilient. It's all right. He's gone. Now I'm on the Fletcher Cox.
Yeah.
I won Fletcher Cox.
Well, Fletcher, so apparently Luke Kuechly goes 9 to Carolina. And
great player they've got.
And then Stephon Gilmore goes 10 to Buffalo.
Oh, did he go?
That's what we're hearing in our control room, if
well,
you will.
If that is the case.
So you're at 11 now.
Then the Eagles absolutely can trade up
if
to
they
11.
Want, if they think Fletcher Cox
how
is that
can,
much
how
better.
How can you not like Fletcher Cox?
It's not me, Merle. I don't know anything about the guy. Other than what they say, and they say that he's a great football player.
Yes, they do.
So,
unless they are convinced they could stay at 15 and get Michael Brockers, who is just as, you know, who they feel can be as good.
But he is not as a dynamic player. He's more of a run stuffer, wide bodied, you know, traditional defensive tackle. Jim Washburn likes his tackles to go up the field, penetrate. Rush the quarterback. That's a primary
Brockers
difference.
Also has that ranginess. He's got a big wingspan, and there's a lot of things that Brockers can do. And his development, he's good enough to play right now, and his development is still right ahead of him to become as he matures even better.
Okay. Well, Merle, any surprises? Anything just completely jump out at you these first 10 picks?
I guess the fact that that Tampa Bay moved up and got. Or was able to take Mark Barron where they did, and I don't think that we expected Dallas to move all the way up into the sixth spot and get Maurice Claiborne. He's a good player.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you the team that scares me right now, Dave, in the NFC East, and that is the Washington Redskins. Because in my opinion, I think in Robert Griffin III, they have somebody who will develop quickly, like Donovan McNabb, and by midseason, he's going to be a scary quarterback to face.
And that's when the Eagles play the Redskins, Merrill. And my concern about the Redskins is that their offensive line not good enough and that the young man's going to take a lot of hits.
Yeah.
A lot of
hits.
Well,
you know what Andy did. Andy brought in Doug Peterson until he felt that offensive line was good enough to protect Donovan McNabb.
Mike Shanahan, a different area of his coaching career, more toward the end. I don't think he waits. I think he puts RG3 in there right away. And
well, I mean, look who he has to beat out.
Yeah, right, right. Well, Donovan McNabb was not going to be a starting quarterback until he learned to defeat the blitz. And then we take a look over there at the Lincoln Financial Field draft party, the 2012 Eagles draft party, and Deetson Watson is presenting that, and the fans starting to pace a little bit more nervously, Merrill, as we are now up to pick number 11, and that is the Kansas City Chiefs. So I got the word this afternoon that the Eagles would not move into the top 10. They did not. That was the question that I asked of Howie Roseman. Didn't ask him if they would move from 14 to 11. And so this is an area that you probably don't, if we can get Adam back on.
I mean, they could be trying to move to 11, and Kansas City could be asking for too much.
Adam, to go from 15, say, to 11, what kind of price are you giving up here?
I'm looking at maybe a fourth. I mean, I can't imagine it'd be much more than that. At the most, a third. And Bo made a great point in our last segment here. Remember, picks 1 through 10 have different rules from 11 going on down. The top 10 picks, the new CBA, it's different. The way that you have to pay them in the fifth-year option. So it's a little different now. Now, Dave, as you talked about, and you talked to Howie about it, you only talked about the top 10. I think they are prime candidate to move up. But the problem is, if Kansas City likes Fletcher Cox, all bets are off. And by the way, he could absolutely both play in a 3-4.
Well, here's what I think is so interesting. All pre-draft process long, we've heard that the Eagles love Fletcher Cox.
Mm-hmm.
If that's true, they'll trade up for him. We're going to find out if they really
did
like Fletcher
Cox. The pick
Cox.
Is in, so the Chiefs are not going to trade this selection. So, and, Bo, I think the point is this. Maybe the Eagles just don't like Fletcher Cox that much.
Exactly.
I mean,
maybe it was a smokescreen the whole time. That's what's so interesting. We'll find out.
Yeah, it's not a prohibitive cost to go up from 15 to 11 here. So, Adam, from what you know of the Chiefs roster, are they likely to go defensive tackle here?
Well, he could play DN, a 5 technique, and a 3-4, no question about it. In fact, in my mock, I had Brockers going there because they have had such a problem at defensive end. Since Scott Pioli took over, he's done a nice job of adding depth on the secondary and at linebacker, but they have not done a good job of adding D-line help. And if they pass someone here, I think he could drop to St. Louis at 14. But it would surprise me. But listen, this is one guy's dropped a little bit. And I did not expect Fletcher Cox to drop out of the top 10.
Now, you also wouldn't expect him to fall all the way to 15.
So the Chiefs, listen to this, guys. The Chiefs are going to take Dontari Poe.
Whoa! Wow.
That's great.
What is going on here, gentlemen?
That's great.
Well, he's
shocker.
The nose, and Fletcher Cox
right.
is not.
Good point.
Pioli always drafts for need. Remember, he took Tyson Jackson third overall. I guess it makes sense.
Dontari Poe is a big-time athlete. He's better off at nose, you're right, Bo, in a 3-4. This is incredible. I mean, I did not, again.
Hey,
guys,
Adam,
can I give you a comparison?
Sure.
If indeed the Eagles are going to end up with Fletcher Cox, this would not be too dissimilar from the year that the Eagles, because of Oakland stepping up and taking Darius Haywood-Bey, allowed the Eagles to move into position to draft Jeremy Maclin.
Right, two more spots, Merrill. Great point.
Hey, let me ask you this, guys. Okay, so there's Seattle, Arizona, St. Louis, and then the Eagles. Let's name four players on the board and say the Eagles are going to get one of these four players. So we've got Cox.
Yep.
We've got Michael Floyd.
Michael Brockers as well.
Mm-hmm. Brockers, who else?
Melvin Ingram.
Ingram, because you can move him around. Now,
Ingram is great, but he's more of a 3-4 guy, as I understand
He could play either or. He could play Deanna in a 4-3.
I would not be unhappy with Melvin Ingram.
You know what? In fact, I thought he was going to go earlier than this. So, Merrill, that's a good name.
Quinn Copels
is out there, right?
I can't see it. Here's the thing,
now,
guys.
What about
would you guys agree that so far the one guy who has changed this draft is Dontari Poe, because he wasn't expected to go that high?
You're right, and that's thrown Fletcher Cox down another peg. And let's go over quickly. What would Seattle be looking for?
Oh, hey, the Eagles are on the clock here, guys. Wait a minute.
They've traded up to 12.
They traded up to 12, and I'm not getting my updates. But
uh-oh,
we're on the clock, people.
Be Fletcher Cox, right?
Get to throw it over to Lincoln Financial Field.
It's got to be Fletcher Cox.
The Eagles are on the clock. They've got to be. Yeah.
Got to be Fletcher Cox.
If it's Fletcher Cox, the Eagles have made
a tremendous move. I don't want to jinx it, so I want to wait till we hear it.
So
I got plenty to say if it's Fletcher Cox.
All right, so let's. I'm throwing all the money in my pocket out on the table right now that it's Fletcher Cox.
And you would think that it probably only takes a fourth-round pick.
Hang on, Dave said he threw all his money on the table. You know what that means?
That means there's no money on the table.
Okay. All $0.
So let's talk about potentially, if it is Fletcher Cox, where does he fit in on this defense? That under tackle position where Cullen Jenkins made noise last year.
Absolutely, and that
fit.
Could have Cullen Jenkins play more DN. And also, by the way, Fletcher Cox could play DN in a 4-3. Absolutely can do it. His growth potential, he can put in more weight
Fletcher
if you want.
Cox.
But we'll see. We don't want. We don't know the draft board.
Well, and here's the other thing to remember.
Yeah.
Last week in the pre-draft meeting with Philadelphia reporters, Howie Roseman was asked what this team looks for in defensive linemen, and he said pass rushers. We can stop the run with the linebackers. We want pass rushers, and that's why they would covet Fletcher Cox more than a Don Terry Poe or Michael Brockers. Those guys are more run-based. Mm-hmm. Fletcher Cox flies up the field, and he can even play on the outside in rundowns.
Exactly, and I want to bring this point up about Andy Reid. He always talks about throwing fastballs. Fletcher Cox is a big-time fastball against an offensive line. I mean,
word is that the Eagles are giving up a fourth-round pick.
Which I said.
A sixth-round pick.
All right. It was a little bit more than I thought.
No big deal.
And you know what else is the interesting thing? If it is indeed Cox, last offseason, the big moves from the Eagles were not player moves. They were bringing in Howard Mudd and Jim Washburn. What? Last year's first-round pick was a present to Howard Mudd.
This
year is a present for Jim Washburn.
Exactly. No question about it. We're assuming that it is. You never know until that card is turned in.
Do we know it's true? Oh, okay. I think we know. We're trying to piece together all this information, guys. The Eagles are on the clock, yes, with 4 minutes left, and we will get that pick for
this
you.
Dave, by the way, I just want to say I'm having a lot of fun. This is great because I never expected all these trades. This has been something completely unprecedented, but the new CBA has a lot to do with it, and thank goodness for that.
And right. Fletcher Cox also, just a random tidbit here, former teammate of Jamar Chaney.
Very good at Mississippi State. Good call.
So keep talking, guys. I'm just going to update some things here.
All right.
Adam, what's the price? 4 and 6. No big deal?
Not at all.
Fletcher Cox.
Right. You're getting a guy who is significantly high in your draft board. We don't know for sure yet. I'd hate for it not to be, then everyone gets disappointed. I'd be stunned if it's not, but you never know.
I would like to throw out another possibility at you.
Okay.
Assuming they do take Cox here. We assume that the Eagles didn't think that Cox was going to be here at 12.
Yes.
So there might have been someone else that they were targeting at 15. If that player slides into the back end of the first round, the Eagles have the ammunition to move into the back end of the first round, two second rounders.
I will tell you that the word around the league with some executives I talked to is that the Eagles were, if they didn't get Cox or some of the guys they had on the draft board, would look to trade down and possibly look at a hybrid linebacker, like a Shea McClellan, somebody like that, somebody who you could – multi-dimensional, and you see Fletcher Cox. We just pointed out everything he could possibly do.
We'll see.
Do we know yet, guys?
Still fourth and a sixth. I mean, that's what we're hearing.
Okay,
nothing.
I have not. Now, usually, guys, I hear via text from the draft room. Okay. I have not heard from the draft room. I've tried to contact my contact from the draft room, but have not heard. So, what we're hearing is a fourth Eagles trade, a fourth round pick. Which what number do we have overall? And a sixth round pick. Which the Eagles have 3 6 round picks. I believe, to go up to...
I'm going to try to get word right now, guys.
They entered the day with 10 picks. They'll now have 9.
Yeah.
And, you know, this team can stock up in youth. And, listen, this team led the league with 50 sacks last season, tying for the lead. I think maybe we can expect even some more with Fletcher Cox added to the mix.
Yeah, I just contacted a source close to the situation, and I'm hoping to find out in about 30 seconds if this guy's checking his text.
How he's not going to check his text.
Not him. Nope. It's not him. It's somebody else.
So the Eagles are on the clock here, and there's just a few moments, and the pick is in.
Why are they waiting?
Well, the pick is in. We're just waiting to scoop everybody here. Not sure if we'll. I think what happens is the person who normally goes up into the draft room caught off guard by this trade a little bit, so there's everything happens so quickly.
Is he having dinner?
That he's not in the room yet.
Okay.
And so this is what we know. These are the trades that were made so far, and then the Eagles trading a fourth-round pick. Where are the Eagles' picks? We know. It is Fletcher Cox. The Eagles are selected Fletcher Cox.
This is great. Now we can talk.
Mississippi State defensive tackle Fletcher Cox.
What a
is a Philadelphia Eagle.
This is pretty interesting. Let's talk about it.
I for one am thrilled.
This is pretty darn good. Great job by Howie Roseman. One thing he really is good at is working the draft board, understanding value and where players will go, and somehow he held his ground. And he didn't overpay to get a specific player. And as we saw, a fourth and a sixth round pick is nothing for a guy who was the number one guy on their draft board right there. It's a great trait at a need position. This was the guy everyone in the media knew about. Jim Washburn loved him. The Eagles interviewed him at the combine because this guy gets upfield. This is a total Jim Washburn guy. I'm stunned. I'm gonna admit it. I didn't think they'd be able to get him because I didn't think, as Dave talked about. I didn't think they would trade up in the top 10 to get him.
You want to hear the announcement when he
yeah,
makes
go ahead.
Do that? Well, we're not there yet.
Well, guys, you can thank Scott Pioli and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Here we go. Yes.
What's that pick? Eagles give up the 114th pick and the 172nd pick.
Well, and think about this price-wise. The Browns gave up a fourth, a fifth, and a seventh to move up one pick. The Eagles move up three. They get their guy, fourth and a sixth.
Boy,
I think it's a great deal.
Right, but remember, guys, they didn't have to give up their twos. They still have two twos. They could get
a
corner. Do they have the, they
swap? They have a third round pick.
Okay, gotcha. So they're in great shape here. I'm stunned. This is totally surprising that he'd still be on the board. Fletcher Cox's drop in this draft is the biggest surprise to me.
Guys, could you say that among the fans and the media, not that that's the main concern,
right,
because they want to draft the player they think is best for this football team, but could you make the statement that among the fans and the media that this is probably the least controversial pick the Eagles have made in many, many years?
Yes, I totally
agree. You know
what?
I think that's fair.
Yeah. And honestly, it's probably the pick that most of us thought in March might happen, but it just like never happens, Bo. I'm really surprised, and I don't know why. We'll never really find out why Cox dropped maybe three or four spots more than we all thought. But the fact of the matter is that he's going to be an Eagle. This is the guy that they came into draft wanting is fascinating to me. And the only, you know, if you asked us before the draft, who are the two guys you think the Eagles would probably try to get?
Go, okay, guys, that's enough. Let's hear from Roger Goodell.
Let's hear it.
Seattle has traded the 12th pick to Philadelphia. With the 12th pick in the 2012 NFL Draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select Fletcher Cox.
At 300 pounds at the combine.
Amazing.
And here's the deal with him. He'll be a 21-year-old rookie. You can play him inside. You can play him outside. Remember Jim Washburn, the defensive line coach of the Eagles with that wide nine?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what the wide nine means. Jason Babin lines up in Avalon, New Jersey. Okay?
Nice.
On the other side, they line up in Los Angeles, California. And somebody in the middle's got to handle all that space. And that's what this cat's going to do for them. And it's a great call and a nice move up by the Eagles.
And you watch the tape now. This guy's a versatile athlete. He can play a one, a three, a five, a seven. They move him all around with that speed and size. He's driven. He was the SEC Defensive Lineman of the Week four times. And now Andy Reid has got a front with Trent Cole and Jason Babin and Cohen Jenkins. That's a scary defensive line.
He loves drafting those linemen. This big guy here that can run. You mentioned those wide nines.
Yep.
What do you need? It's a big fella that can post up, but still get a chance to move around and chase people down. And that's what big fella does.
And you know what they do?
And
first
that,
down,
ladies
they take
and gentlemen,
Jason
is a man hug of hugs.
At defensive end.
Commissioner Roger Goodell and the newest Philadelphia Eagle, defensive tackle Fletcher Cox. Take a look at that. Holding up the pick, Merrill, the jersey. This is a great move. This is you talk about understanding how the cadence of the draft goes. Look at the numbers from Cox. It fits in. We know that Jim Washburn loves him. Does he come in and play right away, Merrill?
Absolutely. If the season started tomorrow, he might be out there. But he, and again, you talk about a starters. Don't forget, with the defensive line, you're talking about a rotation. So he is going to play early and a lot.
Yeah,
and he is an impact player. He is a guy who can impact this football team from day one.
Let's go up to the NFL Network and see what they have to say about Fletcher Cox.
In my opinion, in Philadelphia, an important cog for that defense. Now, what else does Philadelphia need to compete? They need a safety. Okay, and they've drafted two safeties in the last 2 years in the second round, Jaquan Jarrett and Nate Allen. So he's an important piece for Juan Castillo defensively. The Philadelphia Eagles are going to be a team to contend with. They dumped a bunch of salary with Asante Samuel. This kid's special.
We're going to do something that I don't believe we've done yet tonight, which is take a war room cam of a team that's actually on the clock. We've only been taking them like 5 minutes after a pick's been made because of this breakneck speed. The Lexus war room cam of the...
All right, Merrill, so there you go. The Eagles making their first pick. They've traded away their fourth round pick. What pick was that overall, guys? 114 overall and 172. So a nice number to give up. Let's take a break. Let's get some phone calls going. We're going to throw it to Andy Reid. He'll meet the media shortly. But we want to get your reaction here. The Eagles, they made the move that we hoped they would. They traded up, but they didn't have to go all the way to six to get Fletcher Cox. They got him at 12. They give up a fourth round pick, a sixth round pick. Reaction coming from you and from the Eagles. right here on Eagles Draft Live, presented by Deaton Watson. We're coming right back.
Money on more than just car insurance.
I'm really gonna miss you.
My new apartment isn't that far away.
It's more than 2 miles away.
This destroyed Razor Motorola is breathing for you. Skype. This is GPS.
Will that make me feel better?
I'll go get two from the back.
Okay.
This Mother's Day, get the Droid Razor by Motorola. Only $99.99. The lowest price ever. Verizon.
Final round.
The audience choice ingredient?
Bud Light.
And here we go.
Looks like Chef Dubois is emulsifying the Bud Light into a foam. What's his competitor doing?
He appears to be having a really... really good time.
A Bud Light reduction for Dubois. And his opponent?
Also improvising nicely. Let's see that again.
Judges.
I like the use of the pressure cooker to tenderize the beef.
But also the use of the cell phone to order the pizza.
That's the sure sign of a good time. It's just right taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Sorry, Chef. We're going to need more ingredient.
Eagles Draft Live, presented by Philadelphia's own Dietz and Watson. Score all season long with delicious grilling recipes like the Philly Frank, Texas Chili Dog, barbecue sausage skewers, and many more.
We're the mother of all meats.
Welcome you back to Eagles Draft Live, presented by Deaton Watson. Dave Spadaro with you. Time to go up to Radio City Music Hall as we do. By the way, we're going to have some fun with this because Fletcher Cox is the guy that we've been targeting and talking about for weeks and weeks and weeks. And we all thought you had to go up to four to get him. Eagles only had to go up a few spots, giving up the 114th overall selection, a fourth-round pick, and a sixth-round pick, the 172nd selection overall. Not a bad deal. Everybody here is thrilled. We'll hear from Andy Reid, from Howie Roseman, and from Fletcher Cox shortly. Let's go to our draft expert now up at Radio City Music Hall, Tony Pauline from SI.com. Tony, your reaction to this move, this acquisition of Fletcher Cox, now a Philadelphia Eagle?
Brilliant in a number of ways. I mean, they got the player that they wanted. They got the player that's going to give them immediate impact and immediate help on the defensive line. And they got him at a bargain basement rate. They paid a lot less for him, as you were saying, than most people thought, because as we had talked before, we thought they'd probably have to trade up to at least seven to Jacksonville. And I think what happened is when Jacksonville decided they couldn't move down and decided to go the other way, get Justin Blackman, the receiver, and some of the other players started coming off the board a little bit earlier. Keekly, Carolina surprised everybody by taking Keekly when a lot of us thought that Carolina would, in fact, take Fletcher Cox. the door was open. I think the Eagles made the right move. They got the right player, and I think someone that can start for them this September and really develop into a top-flight defensive lineman.
So is he a defensive tackle, Tony, that, you know, gets up the field and makes plays in the backfield?
Yeah, he's probably the most athletic defensive lineman in this draft, hands down. I mean, he is quick. He is explosive. He fires through the gaps. He can make plays behind the line of scrimmage or really change direction and chase the action in pursuit. You know, I think the one thing about his game is he's not a real strong, you know, anchor, a guy that anchors at the point of attack, but he's still young, and that'll come as he physically matures and just gets stronger as the years go on.
Why do you think Dontari Poe went before Fletcher Cox?
I think that the Kansas City Chiefs have a dire need at nose tackle. There was a lot of talk last year that they were going to take Phil Taylor, and they passed him up. I think that Fletcher Cox would have been the better pick for them, but I think that they were just so desperate in the middle of the defensive line, they had to go in that direction.
The Eagles have Cullen Jenkins. They have Mike Patterson. They have Antonio Dixon. They re-signed Derek Landry. It's going to be tough for this kid to get in and play football, I think, Tony. Is he versatile enough, do you think, to get a couple of snaps outside?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he is the most versatile defensive lineman in this year's draft, and probably most versatile lineman in a number of drafts of the past few years. You can line him up at defensive tackle, use him as a three technique. If they go to three-man lines, you can play a two-gap end. And I thought all along, and not too many people said it, you know, you can line him across from right tackle, right offensive tackle, and he'll do a good job for you.
All right, so Tony, evaluate here. The pick that obviously the Dontari Poe pick surprised me, but I just don't understand the Miami Dolphins. Why couldn't they get out of number 8? I mean, who's taking Ryan Tannehill?
Oh, the Miami Dolphins are. I mean, I don't envy that front office. You have to wonder, you know, was this a pick made by the general manager and the scouts, or was this a pick made by the owner? I mean, when they didn't sign Matt Flynn a free agency, they stormed the Bastille and almost burned down the headquarters. They were in a very tough position. The Miami Dolphins. I absolutely agree with you. I think Ryan Tannehill is a major risk. I think he's a major reach. But I think the Dolphins were in a tough spot. We'll never know. But this may be a pick that the owner says, this is the guy I want.
What are you looking for the rest of the night here, Tony? I mean, Eagles fans obviously are kind of, you know, settling in, relaxed, breathing deeply, very pleased with things. Any chance at all the Eagles could trade back into the top of the first round, the back end of the first round, and get, I don't know, a Janoris Jenkins kind of player?
Yeah, I just don't see that. I don't think that's a good fit. You know, he's very skilled, but the off-the-field issues are a problem. You know, maybe Hayward or Vanderbilt, they may trade up into the top of round 2-4. He's a terrific cornerback and would fill a need. I think the picks right now to watch are 15 and 16. Are the Jets going to move up? Are the Jets going to move down? Is Seattle going to take Melvin Ingram? I think the fun is going to continue in this round one, which has had a lot of trades, but also has a good pace to it. We're moving along pretty quickly.
Yeah. Hey, Tony Pauline, SI.com. Thank you very much for joining us from Radio City Music Hall. Now we are awaiting Andy Reid in the auditorium as the media files in. We will get to your phone calls, people. I know you're on the line. I know you've been patient. Frankly, when we were projecting this whole night out, we expected the Eagles to pick somewhere in the range of 10:30. Obviously, this first round, as Tony said, has moved along very, very quickly. The NFL might want to consider rounds 1 and 2 on Thursday night next year. So we will get, maybe we'll get grab a quick phone call before we get to Andy Reid. Give us a call. 215-339-6709 is the telephone number. We have a little vignette on Fletcher Cox. Let's play that. We may have to cut it off in the middle to go to Andy Reid. We don't want to miss a word of the head coach. Let's go to the vignette prepared by the fine folks at the NFL Network.
Mississippi State defensive tackle Fletcher Cox uses his explosive power off the line of scrimmage to make things happen. Cox is quick to read plays and goes directly after the ball carrier. Last year, he registered 58 tackles and 5 sacks. In 2011, Cox was named to the All-SEC First Team and honored 4 times as the SEC Defensive Lineman of the Week. He was also named a 2011 All-American by Pro Football Weekly.
All right, we've got Andy Reid in the auditorium here. Let's go up to the front of the auditorium and hear from the head coach what he has to say. The Eagles taking defensive tackle Fletcher Cox. All right, we good?
Hold on. Can you wait till after the
we
second?
Got deadlines.
Good, Flatley?
All good.
Can you hear me, Andy?
One, two, three.
Earlier, a few weeks ago, Bob and RJ they picked up this one from the top.
All right, so far, so good.
Something's all right. You draft one better
you
than
sound
that.
You sounded different.
All right. We drafted with our first round pick here, Fletcher Cox. We made a trade with Seattle, and we gave up our fourth and sixth round pick, and we're able to move up into Seattle's spot. So we feel that Fletcher Cox is a tremendous player, in particular at the college level. We think they'll transfer over to the NFL. He's a defensive tackle, but has a speed athletic ability where he could play outside if needed. He gives you a little flexibility. Very intelligent kid, and he's young. So you get the whole package. He's somebody that we had targeted, and we tried to stay aggressive and go get him. I think it'll be a nice addition to Juan's defense, and like I mentioned to Fletcher, he gets to be coached by best defensive line coach in the National Football League, and they had developed a relationship. Wash was able to go down and hang with him for a day, a complete day, and work him out and take him out to eat and get to visit with him a little bit and find out what kind of person he is. So obviously Jim's very excited about it, as is Juan. Time's yours.
At defensive tackle, it's a position where you rotate a lot of guys. You anticipate that he'll be in that mix right off the bat. And is that a perfect situation when you don't have that pressure starting and you kind of just play?
Well, I think it is. I think that's I think with our veteran leadership that we have inside, I think that's a positive. And then the way we rotate our defensive line, and that's ends and tackles, I think that's a positive. So he's going to be asked to play four or five plays in a row, hopefully just three, right? And then come out, but four or five plays in a row, and then the next group comes in. And we did that last year and had success with it, and we'll continue to do it this year.
Andy, do you guys like him at 295, or would you like to see him add 10 pounds?
You know, he carries it well. He's got nice glutes and thighs, and he's built. I think you'll see that tomorrow when he comes in. He's really put together in the lower half, and he's able to anchor. He's got great hips, good strength, good upper body strength and lower body strength. So, but I tell you, he's one of those rare kids that's that size that can run as fast as he can run. I mean, it's quite an amazing thing to watch him work out.
Andy, does versatility sell you on him?
Well, I think that's a positive. Now, we're not a 34 team, but if you decide to go to a three-man front and a nickel situation, he can do that. He can jump out side and still give you a legitimate pass rush, and he's big enough to anchor down. I thought going into the draft, to answer your question, and this isn't as much for us as it is for the kid, that I felt he could play in a 34 front or a 4-3 front and do it equally as well, play defensive end in the 34 and then in the 4-3 be able to play D
defensive tackle, and if needed, he could jump outside a little bit like Colin Jenkins, where he could jump outside and still give you a legitimate pass rush.
Did you anticipate that he was going to fall that far, and at what point did you start thinking?
No, we didn't. You know, we thought he would be top six, seven pick, and then when he dropped, we started making, yeah.
Did you come at it?
Well, I had a feeling Kansas City needed a nose guard. This is one thing that he's not when you talk about flexible. That's not his position. Where Poe is truly a nose guard. I mean, he fits in very well there for what they're doing in Kansas City.
You thought he was going top six, take him at nine?
See, I missed it.
Was there any fear that Carolina would take him at
nine? Yeah, there was that. Yes, there was.
Did you almost trade up further, thinking you might have to?
Well, we started making calls a pick earlier, so yeah, but that wasn't going to work.
I mean, there's a lot of good defensive tackles in this draft.
What was it that kind of separated Fletcher of you guys?
Well, I think what you're looking at is you're looking at a young kid who's talented. He's very intelligent. I think you'll find that out tomorrow. He's a sharp kid. And his athletic ability was it jumped out at you. For a big man to move the way he can move, that's rare. That's a hard thing to find.
Andy, when you saw the prices that were being paid with all the early trades, did you think about making a big leap this season again?
No, we had ourselves honed in on kind of what we wanted to spend. And so we weren't going to get quite as elaborate as some did. We had other people there that we also liked if this didn't work out. So we felt we were okay where we didn't have to overspend.
How important was not to give up one of those
teams? Yeah, well, we didn't want to do that. That's not where we were going to go in this. So. We wanted to maintain our three if we possibly could, and we were able to do that, both of those.
Going into tonight, was this about best-case scenario?
Yeah, again, anytime things were crazy. You saw safety go up high, and, a linebacker go up high, and normally that doesn't happen as frequently as your offensive defensive lineman going up in there, but... It worked out. Yeah, the way it fell, it fell well. Tannehill went. There was a little bit of a question whether he was going to go, and Miami took him, which helped, the situation.
And your last five picks in the first half of the first round are all been defensive linemen, from Corey on through. Could you just kind of address, why you like taking defensive linemen early on?
Well, I've said it for so many years here that I think you win games up front. If you can perform up front, whether it's offensive line or defensive line, you make everybody better. It's just how it works. In this case, with the defensive line, you put such a tremendous urgency on the quarterback and that they've got to make these decisions that hopefully aren't the right ones for a majority of the time. So there are very few quarterbacks that can tend to throw in the football when they've got somebody right in their face.
Is there a possibility that you'll think about moving into the back end of the first round?
Not if I sit here long enough.
Who would you compare Cox to?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know that. Let's get him here and let's see how he does, and then we'll go from there. But I think you'll like his athletic ability. I think you'll see that, and you'll get excited about that.
Did Wash tell you anything specifically about him that kind of captured your imagination?
Well, he went down there, and he when you work these kids out, you're able to teach them techniques that you want done, and then some can handle it, some can't, and with the drill work that you put them through. So we put them through a phase of different drills, and he said that he was so quick to learn, and now it's Walsh didn't have a helmet and pads on, so right, so he wasn't doing it live. But what he was teaching him, he was able to pick it up and execute it in front of Washburn. So I think he's got good work ethic on top of all that.
In terms of balancing the idea of wanting to take a guy that, for a position needed, and take the best guy sitting on the board, did this accomplish both things?
Well, I think we've got a pretty good defensive front. We really, with what Howie did in this offseason of re-signing our own players, and we re-signed Landry, so we really didn't have an absolute need going into this draft. We were able to kind of hang there and just see how things fell. That 15 spot's a kind of a unique spot. There are a lot of different things that can happen there. So we sat there and we were going to be patient to a point. We put a ceiling on what we wanted to spend. We put a mark on the guys that we really thought were top-notch football players in that first round there. And when he started falling, to be honest with you, we got excited about that. And so why not be an Eagle, right?
Jim Washburn a year ago, and you brought Howard Mudd out of retirement. Mudd got his guy and Danny Watkins. I guess Washburn gets his guy here.
I'm just trying to keep him happy.
Yeah.
Grumpy old men, right? Trying to keep him happy.
Cox had said in an interview earlier that if he had his choice, he would go to Philadelphia. What was his reaction when he called?
You know what? He was excited. He was right in the room there, so it was chaotic. I mean, I could hear a lot of noise going on. So, listen now. I mean, I kept him on that phone a long time. So we made that trade. I made sure he was on that phone and just hung on to it and talked to him a little bit. But we knew that would be a popular pick. And when the phone started ringing, and we listened to a couple of phone calls that people called in on, and we just said, you know what, this guy we want, we're gonna take him. So we turned it in and went with it. Well, he won't be the wide nine, so he'll start inside, and as one of the defensive tackles, and so that. It's a little different in there, but whether he's a three or a one, he can do either one. Whether he's inside on the guard or outside on the guard, he can make that work in there. I think what you saw, and you saw it with Cullen, you saw that tremendous quickness off of the ball and speed. And so you'll see that with him. And that fits into what we do schematically. He's built for this style of a defense where you're rushing the passer and reading the run, that type of situation.
Right, thanks. Yeah.
All right, that is head coach Andy Reid. We will get him in studio in just a moment. We had to cut off that vignette, so let's show the vignette right now and get back and get to know Fletcher Cox just a little bit.
Mississippi State defensive tackle Fletcher Cox uses his explosive power off the line of scrimmage to make things happen. Cox is quick to read plays and goes directly after the ball carrier. Last year, he registered 58 tackles and 5 sacks. In 2011, Cox was named to the All-SEC First Team and honored 4 times as the SEC Defensive Lineman of the Week. He was also named a 2011 All-American by Pro Football Weekly. Cox collapses the pocket and pushes back his opponents with his strong upper body. Speed, talent, and potential, Fletcher Cox is sure to be one of the top defensive picks in the 2012 NFL Draft.
concussion is one of the most common head injuries in sports that are caused by a blow to the head. Typical symptoms of a concussion include headache, dizziness, vision disturbance, loss of balance, confusion, and memory loss. An athlete cannot return to play until all symptoms of a concussion resolve and they are cleared by an experienced physician. If you have sustained a concussion or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of long weekends and longer retirements. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
You got a dog?
Yeah, he's a rescue dog. Name's Wego. What
kind of name is that?
Call him.
Here we go. Wow,
wow, wow. No.
Yep. Here we go.
Here we go.
Thank you.
Here we go.
Here we go.
It's the sure sign of a good time. It's just right taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
All right, I guess we're back, Merrill. You ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
Yeah. All right, let's take some phone calls. Let's
help me with my reading glasses.
That's okay. I wear reading glasses. If I knew how to read, I would read. All right, there's a conference call going on right now with Fletcher Cox. We'll get him shortly. We also have an interview set up with him in New York. Let's get your reaction now. 215-339-6709. Joey in Georgia joins us. Hi, Joey.
Hey, Merrill. Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Doing great, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful this evening. I feel really good about our pick. Dave, I saw you before the Atlanta Falcons game in the hotel lobby.
Okay.
And I'm a huge fan of the show.
Thanks,
man. The only thing I really love more than the NFL draft is my Philadelphia Eagles.
Love it.
And I had a question for you. First of all, I wanted to say that I think Fletcher Cox fits perfectly where we got him. Cowboys move up early. I thought they were going to get Barron. They get a cornerback. Barron goes. Keekly goes. We wanted Cox the whole time. We get him in a good place, I think. But two questions. One, the way I look at it now, we have, I think it's five defensive tackles. I want your opinion on how you see all this tackle fitting in our defense.
Yeah. No. Go ahead.
The other question was the safety position. I'm assuming that Andy Reid feels good with the way he has the safety position set up now, because I don't really think that's like the only place in the draft that I don't think that we're really going to be touching.
Yeah, but also, hey, Joey, don't forget Jeremiah Bell's still out there after the draft, and the Eagles have plenty of cap room, and I still think they could address that position after the draft. Merrill, I see with all these defensive tackles, listen, Jim Washburn wants to rotate them, and Cullen Jenkins can play some defensive end in short yardage situations, and they will, if Fletcher Cox is worthy of playing football and earning playing time, he will come in and work in the rotation.
Sure. And don't forget to get the big guy.
Antonio Dixon back. Yep.
Antonio Dixon comes back.
Yep.
It'll be interesting because this is the earliest the Eagles have drafted a defensive tackle since 2001, where with the, or 2000, with the sixth pick, they picked Corey Simon.
Yeah.
And he turned out to be a great player. However, he had a very short career.
Right. So, Joey, you're happy with the pick, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm very happy with the pick. I'm just saying, is Patterson okay? Is Fletcher Cox going to come in as a change of pace kind of guy?
Well, let him earn his playing time. Patterson and Cullen Jenkins are the starting defensive tackles. You know, Derek Landry's your hustle guy. Antonio Dixon's the wild card. How much can he improve now that he is in shape? And he's certainly lost quite a bit of weight from last year. I mean, it's great competition.
What does this do to Derek Landry, who just resigned?
I think Derek Landry is a 15, 20 snap a game player no matter what. Mm-hmm. I think that's where he's most effective. The more you use him, the less effective he's going to be.
I think that we have, like I was saying, that we have a lot of really good defensive tackles. But, I mean, the more the merrier. But the other thing is, I think, like, I mean, what is your opinion? Reed is set with the safeties. He doesn't.
No.
Other than Jeremiah Bell, I don't really think we're going to add too much depth to safety position in the draft, but with quarterback and running back and all our other needs, we're good to go with all the picks we have.
I agree with you. They talked about Barron. Barron was the best of what they called a weak safety pool going into this draft. So I would be surprised to see the Eagles end up with a safety that's going to make an impact.
Yeah, again, and again, Jeremiah, thanks very much for the phone call, Joey. Great to hear from you. I do want to caution everyone that there is still a healthy group of veterans available after the draft. By the way, I don't know what this means, okay? But we don't want you to tune out because normally Andy Reid would come in here after the pick. We would talk. He's back upstairs. Makes me think, Merrill, that maybe, just maybe, Eagles might have an opportunity to trade into the first round late.
There is one safety.
We're at pick number, what, 19 here? 18? Still some time to do.
There is one safety out there who could go late in the first round or early in the second round, and that is Harrison Smith of Notre Dame. He is a rangy safety. He is a solid football player. I would not be unhappy to see him come this way.
All right, let's go to Chris in Virginia. Chris joins us. Hi, Chris.
What's up, Dave? What's up, Merrill? How
are
you guys doing?
We're doing well.
Same here. Yeah, Cox is a guy I wanted all along. Dave, I talked to you a couple days prior. Mm-hmm. Fired up. Can't believe it. It's ready to roll.
Yeah. Look, I think it's a very solid pick. The Eagles have tried to toughen up the middle of their defense. D'Amico Ryans at middle linebacker, Fletcher Cox, their young defensive tackle. I think it's certainly a need, and I don't think anybody can argue that at least in the pre-draft analysis, what a terrific player he is.
Combination of the best available athlete and a need.
Yeah. And that's
sometimes
what you want.
That right. doesn't happen.
Right. What do you want now, Chris? Can the Eagles move back into the first round?
Well, you know, Dave, you know, I was just going to say, I was reading your article, you know, mentioned about how we had 10 picks. And like you said, I'd kind of like to come out with drafting maybe 6-7 guys, if that. Just, we got so many young guys right on the roster, why I wouldn't be opposed to moving back into the late first round, or maybe, you know, packaging some of the later picks into a third or fourth round or something.
Yeah.
The
well,
only other name.
Hey, thanks very much, Chris.
The only other name that I have on my wish list, who is still out there on the board, is Riley Reiff, the tackle from Iowa.
Yeah. Do they need a tackle?
Dave, they need some depth on the offensive line.
Where? Well, you've got Steve Vallis, like Mike Gibson.
You have a guy in Riley Reiff who can play four positions. He can play center, and I mean, he can play either guard position or either tackle position. I don't know that they have quality depth for that offensive line.
Okay. Look, I will tell you that I certainly, and as you do, trust Howard Mudd, mm-hmm. trust Andy Reid.
He's a great coach.
They brought in some offensive linemen during the pre-draft period of time. They will not leave themselves shortchanged.
I agree.
I just don't know if they trade up into the first round to get Riley Reiff, but you never know. You never know. All right, Cliff in Massachusetts joins us on Eagles Draft Live, presented by Deaton Watson. Hi, Cliff.
How you doing, guys?
Doing great, thanks. How are you?
Hi.
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Very excited. Very, very excited about the off season, about this upcoming season. I have very high hopes for Fletcher Cox, for the whole Eagles organization. But I do have one quick question.
Yeah.
And this goes to my man, Dave. I do understand that not too long ago you did mention the possibility of the Eagles moving back late into the first round, possibly grabbing a safety, maybe even an outside linebacker. Now, I do know that we do have 2 second-round picks. And if we don't get back into the second round, where do you think, you know, that big wide receiver, that red zone target that we really need comes in? Do you think it'd be probably a second rounder or maybe even a third?
It's a good question. I mean, I will agree with you that I'd love to have a big target. Maybe it's Alshon Jeffrey. Who knows?
I was thinking of him, too.
A big target. Now, let me ask you, what does this mean? I'm sitting with Howie before the draft, and he says, we have valued 27 players as first-round talent. So what they're saying is if you're out of – see, do you trade into the first round if one of those 27 is there at 28 through 32? Maybe you do. I don't know. I don't know where that big target comes from. I know there are some big targets, and it can come in round 2, 3, or 4.
Because, I mean, I love the speed. I love, you know, all the agility that we do bring to the table. But for a long time, for a couple of years, I've always just wanted that big receiver that we could rely on. I know Riley Cooper is coming around. I know, you know, later in the season last year, you know, he was working hard. And I do have high hopes for him continuing because I do know he's young. But I'm thinking maybe once we get that safety or that outside linebacker, that's really going to help the rotation of our core set right now. You know, when does that big wide receiver come in?
Cliff, that's why you got to stay tuned all weekend, my man.
Oh, yeah, I will. All right, thank you, guys.
Hey,
appreciate it.
Thank you very much. And I don't think it will happen, but, Andy Reid is here. Oh, Washburn's here. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Hey, let's take a quick break. Jim Washburn joining us in studio in just a moment.
From the back.
Okay.
This Mother's Day, get the Droid Razor by Motorola. Only $99.99. The lowest price ever. Verizon.
Teva Pharmaceuticals is the proud sponsor of Eagles in the Community. For more information on the program, click the Community tab right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We had a great 2011 and look forward to an even better 2012. Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Eagles in the Community.
What? You got a dog?
Yeah, he's a rescue dog. Name's Wego. What
kind of name is that?
Call him.
Here we go.
Wow, wow, wow.
No.
Yep. Here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go.
It's the sure sign of a good time. It's just right taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Eagles Draft Live, presented by Philadelphia's own Dietz & Watson. Score all season long with delicious grilling recipes like the Philly Frank, Texas Chili Dog, barbecue sausage skewers, and many more.
We're the mother of all meats.
We'll be right back. We welcome you into the studio. Dave Spadaro, Merrill Reese, joined by Eagles defensive line coach Jim Washburn. Congratulations, coach, on getting your guy.
Yeah, that was good, huh?
Well, you tell us how good it is.
That was real good. Yeah? He's the guy we wanted all along. We sort of had him rated, and he was always the first guy. And, you know, you hate to look at all the mock drafts, but you can't – I couldn't believe that 14 teams – well, it turned out – how many, 13 now?
We were 12th pick.
Whatever, passed on him. He's a really good football player.
I think the two teams that helped you out were Miami in drafting the quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, and then, of course, Kansas City in taking Dontari Poe.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, you never know how it's going to work out with all the trades and stuff. So it really worked out good. He's a really good player. I'm really looking forward to this.
Talk about the process of you getting to know him, the workout, and how much game film you saw. I mean, just everything that goes into your evaluation of Fletcher Cox.
Well, it's just like – Andy Reid watches every play of every game, and he probably went back and watched him in high school or something. We watched every play, of course, we did. And we fell in love with him early. Brett Veach, one of the area scout, did a great job sort of finding him early, and we were on him really early. Mm-hmm. And just got to know him, went down to Starkville, worked him out, took him out to eat. So it was good. We felt like we really knew him.
Wash, it's the earliest the Eagles have drafted a defensive tackle since Andy's second year where he came up with Corey Simon. Now, it's tough to take a football player and compare him to a great player in the game, but stylistically, who does he remind you of? And you've coached a lot of outstanding defensive tackles.
Yeah, I don't know. I, all shapes and sizes. There was a guy named Kyle Love, this undrafted free agent that starts for the Patriots there the day I was working him out. I'd worked him on some drills, sort of different drills than most defensive line coaches work him. And I looked over after he had an exceptionally good drill, and he just flashed. He burst, and he was just really impressive on his drill. I looked over while Fletcher was coming back to line up again. I looked over at Kyle Love, and I said, "You see any stuff like that?" And he went, "Yeah, Richard Seymour." I went, "Wow, good comparison." I hope, wow. You know, but he has got, he's really explosive.
What kind of drills do you put him through?
I don't know. I see all those combine drills and they turn me off. And I just did. I went down there and worked him like he was a rookie, and I was teaching him to pass rush to see if he could get what we wanted to do. And he just really
was explosive. Was the technique completely different than what he had shown and what he had been taught at Mississippi State?
Yeah, a little bit. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, I just did the same thing with Brockers and Poe and him 3 days in a row. And we felt like that was a good evaluator to go 3 days in a row and let him do the same drills. And I hate to say this, but he took my breath away a couple of things he did. But he's got a long way to go. He's got to learn it all, and he's just sort of new from. They slanted a lot and did a lot of things that we're not going to do here. So
now you're not famous for being soft-spoken at training camp or taking things easy on a player, but with a guy like this, Andy Reid said that you were impressed that he learned so quickly.
Yeah, he's a bright kid. He's country. And everybody sometimes – I've coached – let me just tell you this. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
I've coached this kid my whole life. I came back and I told Howie, I said, "I've coached Fletcher Cox my whole life." He went, "Excuse me?" I've been in his house hundreds of times. All my life, what I've done, somebody said, "What have you done with your life?" I've coached Southern black kids. That's what I've done. I recruited them, was in their homes, and that's what I do. I've coached him all my life.
Jim, did you – listen, the defensive line registered 46 sacks last year, led the league. You know, the team had 50 sacks. I mean, you look at it, you see, and you get Antonio Dixon back healthy. You keep Derek Landry. You get Brandon Graham back healthy. I mean – It's a wonderful situation to be in. How do you feel about the group, just the defensive tackle group as a whole, as you look at the whole group?
I feel good. I like them. I like them a lot. I've spent this last 2 weeks figuring out how we can be better, and I don't see any reason we're not going to be a lot better. I mean, it was just the beginning. We've got a good group, and the biggest deal is we've got talent. And here, Andy Reid's going to – one of the reasons I wanted to come here, had some other chances to go to the place. One of the reasons I knew Andy was going to get me defensive linemen. I knew he'd bring in, I knew he'd get me pass rushers because that's his MO. And he has.
He said he took care of Howard last year with a guard, and then he took care of you. He had to take care of you this year in the first round.
Yeah, he did.
Is this kid a pass rusher, a run stopper, or just everything?
I think he can do them both. I mean, you know, like Brockers, I felt like he could rush the passer. I could teach him, but it would take some time. But this guy's got all the traits that we look for in what we want to do. You know, I've coached this system since I was at the University of South Carolina or Livingston University a long time ago. And this guy's got every trait we look for. He is the biggest 296-pounder I've ever seen. I wrote that in my report. He really is. And he's got a chance to be a really good football player.
How do you treat rookies? Do you it's prove it to me from day one kind of thing?
Just work them.
Yeah.
There ain't no certain way to teach. Just work them. He's in for a cultural shock, though. I asked him, I said, hey, Fletch, you've been coached hard? Oh, yeah. I've been coached hard. So, yeah. Okay. That's good. So.
As long as coach, I like to get worked hard, then he's your kind of guy.
No, he works. He doesn't. We talked about we ate at a place named the Veranda. It's a really cool place in Starkville. We sat in there for about 3 hours and 2 hours and 30 minutes. We talked about killing deer.
Paul's going to fit right in with
turkey, and he's obsessed with it. And we talked about guns. We showed each other the deer we'd kill and the guns we had, Trent and Bab and those guys are going to be ecstatic. Yeah. They got another hunter in there. So,
yeah. Coach, do you think that it was important for you to toughen up to improve the middle of the defense?
Say that again.
Was it important to toughen up the middle of this Eagles defense?
Yeah, I mean, we just got to toughen up everywhere. It's not just the middle; it's everything. We just got to do a better job all the way around. We got to, you know, there's some plays and some things we got to do a whole lot better up front. And I feel like I told the guys yesterday, I said, this time last year, I didn't even know your names. You didn't know who I was. You didn't know what I was going to ask or anything. I think that some of the concepts we have are a little bit different and strange and foreign to them. And I think that with this year, I think already they know what I want and they know what we want.
So you're getting a top draft pick back. You're getting Fletcher Cox. And you're also getting a guy you really didn't have a chance to help last year, and that's Antonio Dixon, who has shown in the past that he can stop the run.
Yeah, let me tell you this. I told him the other day, you're going to be able to rush the passer too. He's a good player. I like him. I like him a lot. He's got to keep his weight down. I think that's he's a huge plus, and everybody's ready to give up on Brandon Graham, but not me. Not so fast.
Okay. Jim Washburn, we thank you very much for coming in and joining us. Congratulations. I'm sure you feel like a little kid on the holidays here. You got a nice present under the tree.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. Thank you.
Good
appreciate
for you.
It. Yeah.
Thanks, Jim Washburn, for coming in here and visiting us in our Xfinity studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Online dating services can get kind of expensive, so to save money, I found a new way to get my profile out there.
Check me out. Everybody says I've got a friendly disposition and they love my spinach dip. 5'10".
Still doing a little exploring on it.
My sign is Sagittarius, I'm into Spanish cheese. My hairline is receding, but I'm getting a weed. Getting a weed!
There's an easier way to save.
What's on Ronald tonight?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Boss of your life, in charge of long weekends and longer retirements. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smartphones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
Eagles Draft Live, presented by Philadelphia's own Dietz & Watson, home of the finest premium meats and artisan cheeses. Score all season long with delicious grilling recipes like the Philly Frank, Texas Chili Dog, barbecue sausage skewers, and many more. Visit Dietz & Watson on Facebook or at DietzandWatson.com to find out how to turn your next barbecue into a grillibration.
We're the mother of all meats.
Right now,
excitement, just ready to get back at it.
Fletcher, you had said before the draft that if you had to pick one place to go, you would have chose Philadelphia. Why was that, and how excited were you when Andy told you you were going to be an Eagle?
Sir?
How excited were you when Coach Reed told you you were going to be an Eagle?
I was excited, like real excited.
Is this, you had said this is where you wanted to go, right?
Yes, sir.
Why is that?
I mean, it's the defensive scheme that the defensive player, that the defensive player.
All right, we're going to interrupt that conference call and welcome in the Eagles' first-round draft pick in 2012, the defensive tackle from Mississippi State, Fletcher Cox. Fletcher joins us from Radio City Music Hall. Fletcher, congratulations. How does it feel to be an Eagle?
It's a blessing. I mean, it feels good to be an Eagle. Just real excited about it, ready to get down there and, you know, get back the ball.
Fletcher, what's the whole experience been like, being invited up to New York City, spending some time in the Big Apple, and then waiting 11 picks to hear your name called?
I go just three words about that. You know, it says it's been real. If I could just sum it up, it's been real.
Jim Washburn, we just spoke to him, defensive line coach. He said he had a great workout, great time with you. Your feelings about Jim and what they want to do here in Philadelphia on the defensive line.
I mean, Coach Washburn, great guy. I mean, just, you know, also a great coach. You know, you can go back and look at, you know, things that he's done. And, you know, every system or every team he's been with, you know, they led the league in sacks. And that's the fact.
All right, let's talk about your game, Fletcher. Eagles fans who have not seen you, what can they expect when you line up wearing number 91 in training camp?
I mean, they can expect a lot. You know, a guy that's going to come in and play and contribute to the Philadelphia Eagles and, you know, help win games and compete.
Are you tight with Jamar Chaney, Eagles linebacker?
Very. I was tweeting him before the draft. And, you know, I told him that I'd call him back later. And, you know, and hopefully that I'll be able to be blessed and be with an NFL team.
Fletcher, did you have a feeling that the Eagles were going to take you? Did you sense that they were very interested in you?
I mean, I sensed it. And, I prayed about it, and you know, God answered that blessing, and you know, I had a good feeling that I was just maybe be down there, maybe somewhere else. You know, God just, He answered that prayer, and now I'm being in Philadelphia.
Fletcher, what weight would you like to play at? What's your ideal playing weight, do you think?
My playing weight is 295 to 300 pounds.
Okay. All right. Well, stay away from cheesesteaks up here. You know, they're not good for you.
All right.
Hey, Fletcher, congratulations to you. Just kind of sum up this whole, since the end of the football season, what's the roller coaster ride been like for you?
I mean, it's been a real roller coaster. I mean, you got to be mature and be able to handle, you know, all the things that's come with this whole process.
All right. Well, hey, Fletcher Cox, the newest Philadelphia Eagle. We'll see you in Philadelphia tomorrow. Thank you very much for joining us on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much. All right, guys, thanks very much for that. Let's go back to the conference call now. Fletcher meeting with Philadelphia reporters. Let's see what they had to say to him. I mean, you know, imagine the feeling. You get picked, and the whole world of the media on top of you. And so, as Fletcher said, you've got to be mature. You've got to be able to handle the big stage. He's certainly done that. He's the newest Philadelphia Eagle. Let's go to that conference call held just a few moments ago.
Hey, Fletcher.
Hey, what's going on?
How are you?
Philadelphia reporters.
I'm good.
What's going through your mind right now?
Excitement. Just ready to get back at it.
Fletcher, you had said before the draft that if you had to pick one place to go, you would have chose Philadelphia. Why was that, and how excited were you when Andy told you you were going to be an Eagle?
Sir?
How excited were you when Coach Reed told you you were going to be an Eagle?
I was excited, like really excited.
Is this, you had said this is where you wanted to go, right?
Yes, sir.
Why is that?
I mean, this is a defensive scheme that defensive player, that the defensive player, the Coach Washburn, you know, it's be a pleasure to be on to play on the Coach Washburn.
You aware of some of the problems they were having on the defensive line last year as far as numbers go last year?
No, sir.
How do you think your skill set fits in with how do you feel that your skill set fits in with the Eagles' defensive scheme?
I mean, I think we played the same scheme that they played. You know, the attack front, but also, you know, you controlling gap control.
Fletcher, did you play with Jamar Chaney in college?
Yes, sir. I played my freshman year with him.
Have you heard from him?
Oh yes, sir. Actually, we tweeted earlier. Tweeted each other earlier.
Excited to rejoin him,
sir.
Excited.
I'm really excited to join him.
What did you think of Jim Washburn, the Eagles' defensive line coach? I know he came down and visited with you. You guys got along well?
Yes, sir. I mean, we had a good time. We went out to eat lunch. We went out to eat. We worked out. We had a good time.
What did he tell you?
He just told me that I was, you know, that I was a great player, and he wanted to coach me at the next level. We went out and did some drills, and he liked the way I learned things, you know, real quick. And I mean, he just told me I had to keep repping it and to come natural.
Fletcher, you seem to be a little understated, but tell the people of Philadelphia, simply put, why they should be excited about you.
The fans and the coaches and everybody in Philadelphia should be excited about me because, you know, I'll bring excitement with me to Philadelphia. And, you know, I'll bring, you know, a guy with a great attitude and, you know, hard working and, you know, a guy that never quits and loves to compete.
Fletcher, how surprised were you that Don Terry Poe came off the board before you? A lot of people
I wasn't surprised. I mean, I don't get caught up in it, you know, too much. I was just, you know, just sitting at the table, you know, talking and having fun with my family, you know, and until, you know, my phone rang, and I was like, uh-oh, hold on for a second, y'all.
Fletcher, do you think you were going to be an Eagle when the night started?
Sir?
Do you think you were going to be an Eagle when the night started?
Well, if you really want to know the truth, you know, I prayed and I asked God, you know, where he wanted me to be. And, I mean, Todd and my agent and Brian Aaron and that's your ex what game I like the most, and I love it. I told him, I mean, Philadelphia Eagle, I love to play in that system. And they both agreed on me that I fit great in that defensive scheme.
Hey, Fletcher, how important is it that you're going to play right away, right off the bat as a rookie? It sounds like you're going to be right in the rotation at D-tackle right off the bat. Is that big for you?
Oh, yeah, it's big. You know, I mean, I get in and I learn the defensive plays, and I play at 100 miles an hour, and that's what I like to do, and not thinking.
Fletcher, was there anything from talking to Jim that he did or said that made you think he'd fit in well here?
I mean, just me, just us watching tape, I say that much.
Okay. Who's there with you, Fletcher? Who all do you have waiting out the draft tonight?
It's me, my girlfriend, my mom, my brother, my sisters, nieces, nephews, my brother's wife.
And this is in Yazoo City?
Oh, no, this is in New York.
Oh, you're in New York. Okay. Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. I saw you on TV a while ago, didn't I? Yeah. When you came up, did you think that it would go top 10, or did you think you would be later than that?
I mean, I just wanted to be, you know, picked in one of the 32 teams in the NFL.
What do you know about the rivalries in the NFC East between the Eagles, the Giants, the Cowboys? Did you follow that when you were younger or in college?
No, sir.
Okay. Just don't like them. That's all I need to know.
Sir?
They're just big rivalries here. That's all.
Okay.
Fletcher, have you talked to Jamar since he left Mississippi State about the Eagles at all?
When I see Jamar, we talk, you know, we talk about, you know, life, you know, things, you know, what's going on, how you doing, and, I mean, we may talk a little ball, and he tell him that I love his team, you know, just like I was saying earlier.
Okay. Congratulations, Fletcher.
215-339-6709, the telephone number, as you get caught up here in the... Well, the latter stages of the first round here. Merrill Reese, I'm Dave Spadaro. It's PhiladelphiaEagles.com. What a great show. What a great staff we have. It has worked perfectly tonight, Merrill, for the football team and for us. Take a look at picks 17 through 23. Merrill, what jumps out at you?
17 through 23.
Dre Kirkpatrick, yep. Melvin Ingram. Am I spotting for you, Merrill?
No, this is a thrill for me. Okay. Shane McClellan. And then Kendall Wright.
You know nothing about any of these guys.
No, I do. I do. Dre Kirkpatrick is a terrific corner. Melvin Ingram is a terrific pass rusher. The only thing I thought about Melvin Ingram was that he was more suited for a 30 defense than he is for a 40.
Right. What does San Diego run?
San Diego runs a 30.
Okay, then they're good. 3-4.
And Shane McClellan is another guy who is more suited for a 30 defense.
You know, again, I'm going to just say the Eagles, Howie said they have 27 first-round grades on players. I got to believe some of these 27 players or maybe several of them are still on the board. And we are not ruling out a trade up to the end of the first round here. Andy Reid will join us after the first round is over. So maybe they want to stay busy here. Let's take some phone calls here. Zomp in New York joins us. The Zompster.
How about those birds, baby?
Yes, sir.
How about them?
Yo, you guys look sharp tonight. Let me tell you and Mel, baby.
Well, you know, it's time for the A material.
We have they issued these blazers.
Yeah, the blue blazer crew.
Listen, it's a great A in my opinion. Round of applause to Howie Roseman and the gang. Couldn't be happy. You know, couldn't be more happy. Definitely a dominant defensive tackle. Hopefully, he stays. You know, he'll be healthy and cause a lot of trouble for quarterbacks. Man, I love the move. You know, I was getting a little scared hearing about the Chandler Jones. I wouldn't have been upset about it, but I think Fletcher Cox was definitely the right move.
So what kind of expectations do you have, Zomp, for this player? I mean, everybody wants to know, hey, is he walk right in and start? What do you think?
I think right now, when the season begins, it'll be Patterson and Jenkins, and then he'll rotate in if he causes, you know, a lot of disruption. You know, it'll definitely be a starter. But game one, you know, day one, I think, it's going to be Jenkins and Patterson. You know, you never know. I'm not an expert, but if you put my gut honest opinion, I say that. And I think Cox, you know, if he's going to be a very disruptive player, like we're all hoping that he's going to be, I mean, eventually he will start. But I love the rotation. You know, Landry, an underrated player in my opinion. You got Antonio Dixon, a very good run stopper. And then you got Fletcher Cox coming in here along with Jenkins and Patterson. I think this is hopefully, I'm not going to jinx it, but hopefully one of the best Eagles defensive line I've ever seen in a long time.
Yeah. Hey, thanks so much, Sompsters. Thanks for the phone call.
David, there are some guys out there yet who are considered to be first-round talent.
Who's that?
One is Dante Hightower, mm-hmm. Alabama. Do you have any sense about him?
No sense. Okay. I think he's an inside linebacker, is he not?
He is. He's a powerful, productive, playmaking linebacker. Another... we heard the fan in the fan segment from New York talk about Courtney Upshaw, who is a terrific pass rusher.
Hightower
also
goes to the Patriots. Okay.
Okay. There's Hightower.
Yeah. Okay. So my sense, Merrill, is that he will get drafted by the New England Patriots. But I, don't quote me on that. 25th pick, New England goes, that's Hightower. 24th pick was DeCastro. Was that DeCastro who went? Okay, so to the Steelers. So, all right.
And he is the best interior lineman on the board.
What was your sense from Jim Washburn on his expectation? Are you genuinely impressed by Fletcher Cox?
Oh, he loves him. I mean, he that's his kind of player. I mean, he said it. He said it a little differently about the fact that that's the kind of player that he's been comfortable coaching and recruiting all his life.
He says that differently than anybody says that.
He is an original. Jim Washburn is an original. Whatever is in his mind comes out of his mouth. And you get to know him, and he's a fun guy to be around. And he's a fabulous coach, and his players absolutely love him. If there's one coach that Jim Washburn reminds me more of than any other, it's Buddy Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Because Buddy would say whatever he wanted, and those linemen, those tough defensive players, would follow him to the end of the earth.
Yep.
And it's exactly the same way with Wash.
Merle, is your belief, your wish list that the Eagles stay on the defensive side of the football here, and with maybe these next couple of picks, whether it's first round, second, whatever it is, stay defense, get tougher, get more physical, improve that side of the football?
Not necessarily. I think they have to look at their board, and they have to draft the best football player that they can get. And if that football player happens to be an offensive lineman, fine, take him. If there happens to be a wide receiver out there that they feel can make a difference with this football team. Listen, this football team could still use another running back. They need more depth at the running back position. And if there's somebody out there that they could bring in who could really give this team a little more depth behind Shady McCoy, I say take him.
Okay. You know,
there's a couple guys out there, for example.
Running backs, Merle, let me tell you something. I like Deion Lewis, first of all.
I like Deion Lewis.
I see Joseph Addai in free agency. I see LaDainian Tomlinson in free agency. I see Cedric Benson in free agency. I see Justin Forsett in free agency.
You're talking about old guys who are mopping up their careers, who have tired legs. I mean, LaDainian Tomlinson did not have a whole lot left last year. Okay. He really didn't.
What are you Joseph asking Addai, that player to do?
If Joseph Addai could still play, the Colts would have held on to him.
What are you asking that player to do? Come in and get a couple of carries a game.
Well, we're hoping.
And maybe if McCoy gets hurt.
We're hoping that that's the case.
Right. Yeah.
But with a running back, you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to jinx him, because I think Shady McCoy is part of my quartet of the four greatest Eagle running backs of all time. I'm already putting him in that class with Steve Van Buren, Wilbert Montgomery, Brian Westbrook, and Shady McCoy has moved into that, not the career body of work, but in his short period of time, he has moved into a back on that level. He is a premier back.
I agree.
And you don't want this team, if he goes down with a 4 to 6 week injury, you need somebody out there. I like LaMichael James, the little running back from Oregon, who can light it up and give you a lot. And this team
and can also be a return man, potentially.
You can have a return man.
Okay. Some of the Eagles sent out a welcome via Twitter, of course, to the newest Philadelphia Eagle. And Mike Vick saying, young Fletcher Cox, welcome to hashtag Eagles Nation, lil bro. Evan Mathis says, better watch out for that left guard in training camp. He's awesome. And Jamar Chaney welcoming back his college teammate. And now he's a teammate in the NFL. We welcome in Jamar Chaney on the telephone. Eagles linebacker Jamar Chaney, staying up late following the NFL draft. Your reaction, Jamar, to bringing Fletcher Cox to Philadelphia?
It was a surprise reaction, because I didn't think he was going to be there, you know, if we would have stayed at 15. And that was the word that I was hearing from everybody.
Jamar,
around our facility. But, I mean, we were able to give him, and I was surprised, but, you know, I was happy that we got him.
Jamar, you played with him at Mississippi State. What was he like as a teammate, and what kind of a force did you see?
When I played with him, he was a freshman. You know, he started as a true freshman there at Mississippi State, and this is what stands out about him. You know, his athletic ability. He's very fast to be that big. He came to Mississippi State as a defensive end, you know, weighing like 240, 250 pounds, and was able able to get up to 295, 300 pounds by the time the season started. But, you know, coming out of high school, he was a guy that ran a 4.4, and just the way he's improved, you know, all over the years, he's a hard worker. And I think anytime you've got the athletic ability like he has, and then you put that along with hard work, then you have a pretty good player. Some players are athletic, and they got all the tools, but they don't work at their, you know, at their craft. But he's one of the guys that actually works at what he does.
Jamar, what kind of advice will you give Fletcher just adjusting to Philadelphia? It's a big city, a lot of reporters. The tempo is very fast. What will you say to him?
Just tell him, you know, answer the questions, keep them short, keep them simple. You know, and just have fun with, you know, enjoy the time and just get ready. Defensive line, they go really hard in practice. He already knew that. Watch talked to me about him all the time. And I'm pretty sure, you know, the fans of Philadelphia, once he get on the field and start showing the things that he can do, they're going to love him here in Philadelphia.
Listen, Jim Washburn's personality is not one that is, you know, necessarily like everybody else's. The guy has his own style. What kind of...
In other words, you can't have thin skin.
Yeah, right. How thick is Fletcher's skin?
Well, if you know the defensive line coach from Mississippi State and how he talks, I mean, him and Coach Washburn remind me exactly of each other, how they talk to their players and how they just talk to their players and say anything that comes to the mind of their players. So Fletcher had to have thick skin to play for Coach Wilson at Mississippi State, and he's going to have thick skin to play for Coach Washburn.
Yeah, no question about that. Hey, Jamar, how you feeling, by the way? How's the neck? How's the off-season conditioning program going?
The neck is fine. You know, I'm doing everything everybody is doing at the team. And off-season workouts are going well. Almost everybody is here. And, you know, Barry got us doing great things in the weight room. And everybody's going to meetings and whatnot. And you can say, man, all the players are very excited to get back to work and making sure we do everything possible to make sure we're ready to go for the season.
Are you going to move to strong side linebacker? Have they told you that?
They haven't told me anything. They haven't really told none of the linebackers anything. They just won, and Coach Tarver just right now making sure, you know, all the linebackers are learning all three positions, because you never know what can happen during the season, during training camp, and during, you know, the OTA. So I think giving all the linebackers, you know, knowledge of each and every position, so if something does happen or you have to start here and go there, it won't be a learning curve. You already know that position.
Well, hey, that's great. Listen, you're going to be instrumental, I'm sure, in bringing Fletcher along, at least in this new culture and new environment. Keep him away from the cheesesteaks. They're not good for you. And have some fun. And thank you so much. Go ahead, Merle.
Just one thing. Are there any other Mississippi State players out there that you know that the Eagles might be wise investigating and maybe even selecting in a later round?
I don't know. We got a good safety out there, Charles Mitchell, and a good running back out there, a good power back, and Vic Ballard. So, I mean, those two guys to look out for. But
are you a big draft guy, Jamar? Do you follow it?
I mean, I don't follow it that much. You know, I watched it a lot, you know, to see where Fletcher was going. I hope he was going nuts. And some of the other guys that I know, you know, that are in the draft. But I just, you know, I just keep up with the updates. I don't watch it. It's so long that I just try to keep up with the updates. And I guess I follow y'all's tweets to see who's getting drafted.
Well, thank you very much. Hey, Jamar Chaney, Eagles linebacker, thank you so much for joining us tonight on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Oh, no problem.
All right. See
you, Jamar.
Concussion is one of the most common head injuries in sports that are caused by a blow to the head. Typical symptoms of concussion include headache, dizziness, vision disturbance, loss of balance, confusion, and memory loss. An athlete cannot return to play until all symptoms of a concussion resolve and they are cleared by an experienced physician. If you have sustained a concussion or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
Eagles Draft Live, presented by Philadelphia's own Dietz & Watson, home of the finest premium meats and artisan cheeses. Score all season long with delicious grilling recipes like the Philly Frank, Texas Chili Dog, barbecue sausage skewers, and many more. Visit Dietz & Watson on Facebook or at DietzandWatson.com to find out how to turn your next barbecue into a grillibration.
We're the mother of all meats.
Seen the signs on the passersby, something's got to give. Can't be free if it's good for me. This good thing comes along and I can't deny too long. I need you to save me.
I need you to save me.
Set me free.
Geico, saving people money on more than just car insurance.
Select.
I had made my dream come true, and it was my time to keep it alive.
Those are memories that can't be taken away.
It was an exciting day and nerve-wracking day. That's why I kind of tried to, you know, stay as relaxed as I could and just be with family. That was the main thing. I had all my family and friends over, and you know, they all sat around and watched the draft. And I actually didn't even sit and watch the draft. I was back in a back room playing video games with my little cousins and all of them, and so I really just didn't even pay attention to the draft.
Wasn't really stressing about nothing, you know, just calm about everything, you know, wasn't in a rush about nothing. You know, just pretty much just tried to take it easy that whole day because, you know, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to get picked today or tomorrow, you know, just don't know. So I just didn't want to get my hopes too high, so I was really chill most of the day.
I had a bunch of family members over on that Sunday because I knew I wasn't going to go on Saturday. So everyone was there. We were all having a party, and I was nervous the whole time.
Ned, all my friends, families, and you know, the news was there. And I think my mom had gotten every hat from every NFL team in a box underneath the table. So she had me prepared in that sense.
Draft day was a great experience. I think it was ruined because I knew I was going number one the entire time. Maybe if, you know, nobody knew exactly what the order of the draft was going to be, or if the first pick didn't know exactly where he was going to go, then it would have been more intriguing and been just that much more special.
I'm a simple guy. I told my mom I only wanted, you know, my brothers and sisters and, you know, immediate family there. But my mom, you know, they're so excited about, you know, me being potentially drafted. We had a lot of people at the house. All 3 days.
Draft day for me was, it was a fun time, a little stressful time. I had a chance to bring in a lot of my family and friends from out of the area, house them, and we really just had a time to embrace and enjoy the moment. And as the days went by, you know, things got a little more stressful, but once my name was finally called, and I got a call from Coach Reed, and you know, everything just melted away, and I was excited to be a Philadelphia Eagle.
All right, we welcome you in. Dave Spadaro joined by a draft analyst Adam Kaplan, Bill Werndell. I'm so excited, Adam. I gave you a big shot there. Sorry about that. Let's rehash here what the Eagles have done trading from 15 to 12. They get their guy, Fletcher Cox. Give up a fourth-round pick and a sixth-round pick. Bill, we haven't heard from you tonight, so let's hear from you now. Your reaction to this.
I think it was an excellent pick. One of the best picks the Eagles have ever made, Fletcher Cox. I mean, this guy could be an impact player almost immediately. And in this year's draft, the Eagles were looking for impact players, and he is an impact player, bar none.
Okay. We heard from Jim Washburn on a little earlier, Bill. And it really sounds like they did their homework on this kid. They spent a lot of time with him. And his temperament, his versatility, and
athleticism,
the explosiveness is what the word mm-hmm. that I like.
Absolutely. And the guy, you know, in high school, he was a linebacker. And now he's a defensive end, defensive tackle. I mean, he can play both positions. And at 297 pounds, a 4.78 guy in the 40, that's a unique talent.
All right. So tell me this. You get D'Amico Ryans. You get Fletcher Cox. Is the physical nature of this defense completely different?
Absolutely. I think Fletcher Cox and D'Amico Ryans brings a presence that was lacking last year. You need that dominant load in the middle, and I think Fletcher Cox can be that guy to penetrate and collapse the pocket.
There rarely, over the course of time, Adam Kaplan, mm-hmm. Have there been picks that have kind of been universally applauded. And this appears to be one of those picks. Have you heard anything negative at all about Fletcher Cox?
No, I was checking my Twitter feed, and people are just going crazy. You know, I said earlier tonight, I said, I don't want to jinx it because you just never know until the card's thrown in. But we all kind of knew, Dave, that it had to be Fletcher Cox.
All right, so as you have had time to digest this, Adam, how does he fit in?
I honestly, the Eagles have an unbelievable rotation now. They could actually go 9-10 deep with their DNs and D tackles. No team has a deeper rotation. The great thing is a nickel, you can come out with a different package. In dime, you can. This kid could also play all three downs when he's physically ready. Now, as a GM told me, I think it was last week, we were just talking about Cox, about what kind of scheme he could play in and what he saw from him. He says he's got size capability. That's a scouting term where he can get bigger physically, probably 3'10", 305. He's like 298. It's just remarkable to me. You know, we're talking about this kid in March on your show and saying, well, you know, Eagles, this is a great Eagles pick here, but it's highly unlikely to be able to get him. But, and Merrill made a great point. Once the Chiefs took Dontari Poe, a neat pick, a nose tackle, that set it up. Now, here's what I thought was very interesting. Cox, I guess he'd said that the Seahawks showed a ton of interest in him, but they traded out of the pick.
Mm-hmm.
And they took, as my friend Bill Werndell said, Bruce Irwin, who a lot of people are calling a reach. I hate to call a guy a reach.
Fourth-round pick, Adam. Come on.
John Harris was a reach, Billy. Come on. A lot of people I respect said he was a second-round pick with a ton of upside, but he's got some issues. The Seahawks never cease to amaze me.
Guys, we've kind of gone back and forth on this, and you let it sink in a little bit. Fourth-round pick, sixth-round pick is compensation. That just doesn't...
Not a lot.
Not a lot. You didn't give up a lot. You didn't give up a second- or third-round pick. The picks that you expect to come in and help you almost immediately. And that's why it's so important for the Eagles to get production out of Brandon Graham and Jarrett this year and Curtis Marsh. Those guys have really got to step up their play in training camp and make a mark on this football team.
All right, so you mentioned look at all these trades. Boy, what a busy, crazy first round it's been, and a quick first round. They're already up to pick number 28, the Green Bay Packers. Up on the clock, it's now 29th pick. The Vikings are up as the Packers make their selection. Who they take there, guys? Nick Perry. What's he?
I don't like him.
Linebacker from USC.
Defensive end. I'm not big on Nick Perry.
I have no idea who he is, but it doesn't matter because he's not an Eagle. So what the hell do I care?
Yeah.
What I care about is
you like him, Adam?
Yeah, he's going to play outside linebacker with the Packers. Yes,
any chance the Eagles get into 29, 30, 31, 32?
You know, this brings up a great point. Bill made an awesome point off camera because we were talking about the Eagles possibly trading up from the second round. They have two second round picks. And Bill, why don't you talk about the guy that you threw out there?
I am really intrigued by Kobe Fleener, the tight end at Stanford. Now, you're going to say, we have a lot of tight ends. This guy is a unique talent. 6'5", 247 pounds, runs about a 4.47 40. He will give you that red zone presence, and that's what you want, a red zone presence. Remember, everybody talked about Randy Moss and Plaxico Burress. This guy is a young player, and I think he would really help the Eagles' red zone.
But as a blocker, can he get it done?
That's an issue.
That's the issue.
He's not a short yardage guy. In fact, we talked about, I think on your show on Monday, about one thing they don't have is a move guy, an athletic matchup guy, where you just can't cover this guy. Now, see, the thing is, with the relaxed rules, you can't touch this guy past 5 yards. This guy runs like the wind. He runs like a deer. He's a big-time athlete. He's a big-time talent. He needs to get stronger physically. But this, if they were going to trade up for a guy, this would not surprise me at all.
What about a cornerback? If you're looking for a slot corner, yes. Asante yes. Samuel's gone. Is there somebody?
Yeah, there are a bunch of guys.
Okay, who?
Second round, Casey Hayward from Vanderbilt, who should not get past 40 around that area. That's a little bit ahead of the Eagles.
Is a slot corner.
He could play inside or outside. Terrific football player, high character guy, Bill.
Absolutely. And the other kid is Josh Robinson, a 4.35 guy from Central Florida. He could really help you as well. Those two guys, I think, could help the Eagles almost immediately in the dime package.
Tackler, you see on Casey Hayward, he does it all. He tackles. He's willing to get physical. That's what you want from your slot corner.
You mentioned him, Bill, Janoris Jenkins. Unbelievable talent.
Absolutely. First-round talent, top 15 talent. But he is Pac-Man Jones reincarnated.
You know somebody's going to take a chance on him.
Absolutely. And they may pay the price eventually, like Pac-Man Jones. A guy that will tantalize you and tease you. And then, of course, when the handcuffs go on him, you say, oh, geez, we made a big mistake.
I want to talk about Josh Robinson. If you just saw the attributes there, does not excel in press coverage. That is not good for a slot corner because you must get physical. That's not going to work. I think Hayward would be a great pick, but this is fascinating to see what the Eagles could do here because they've got their three and they've got two twos. And now what they really need to add, probably, Dave, as we go along here, a corner, obviously, if not two before the end of the draft, definitely one and probably in this round. At some point, an outside linebacker.
Okay. And a safety, anybody?
The safety class is very, very weak.
Okay, so then let's...
After Barron.
All right. Hybrid guy. What about Jeremiah Bell, Adam?
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a possibility, just checking the situation about a week ago, that something could happen after the draft, but nothing's imminent, nothing is close. There's a mutual interest, but nothing big. Todd Bowles' influence here, has a lot to do with it.
If Jeremiah Bell comes here, does he come here as, I know it's stopgap, kind of, is he coming as a starter?
It's a great question. I think he's got to win the job. Based on his injury history, he's 34. I can't see them promising him. Now, in fact, you could structure a contract for playing time, percentage of snaps, or how many games he's active.
Okay.
Especially with his injury history. I think that's the way you have to deal with that guy.
Bill.
The one guy that intrigues me a lot in this draft is Boise State's George Ioka. A big safety, big physical safety.
And I got a little Is he a runner, though? Can he cover in the slot?
He's huge. He's 6'3".
Yep, 6'3".
But how about this? The last three games this season, because of injury, he had to play corner. He actually did a pretty good job, which... Guys 6'3 do not flip their hips very well, but he actually did a decent job. He kind of opened some personnel evaluators' eyes because he was able to do that. But he's a big, rangy guy. I'm not sure on him.
We know there are runs on positions. You know, you generally fourth or fifth round, the run on running backs comes. And where will the run on cornerbacks? Where will we see that, guys? Are we going to see that in the second round?
Yeah, I think four or five guys at least will go off in the second round. No question about it.
Another corner is Alphonso Dennard, but he had a
Harrison Smith gone. Keep that up there.
Was that to Minnesota?
That was to Minnesota. Yes. Oh,
so they traded. They traded out. What did they do? They flipped.
Traded with Baltimore.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know if I would have done that if I'm Minnesota.
Well, the Vikings safety position. Both are undrafted free agents. They had to do something. But Harrison Smith is a good football player. Some people, you were probably thinking he might go in the second. Well,
right.
Late first. I mean, it's not a big deal.
I don't have a problem, but I wouldn't have taken him in the first. Middle of the second round would have been a perfect spot for Harrison Smith out of Notre Dame.
San Francisco, Denver, and the Giants on the clock here on the board to go in the first round. Any shot that they trade out?
Well,
I know the Giants aren't going to.
Fleener's a possibility for the Giants. The Niners are looking at a guard here. It could be the kid from Midwestern State.
You pronounce that last name.
I know. In fact, what I'm drawing a blank here, but
Salatullo.
He was a Senior Bowl guy.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. They're looking at guard. Yeah, because Zeitler is off the board here. So
San Fran, what's the San Fran do?
They need a guard here, big time.
What about Hill, the wide receiver from Georgia Tech?
Stephen Hill. They had him in for a visit. He has speed. Kendall Wright is off the board. Stephen Hill, this is the absolute earliest that he would go, but they are looking for a guard here. The Giants, listen, they lost two tight ends to ACL injuries. They absolutely need to add a tight end here.
How about a running back?
Is Doug Martin still on the board, guys?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
One running back.
He goes to the Giants. He's fantastic.
Bill, I know you spend a lot of time watching. Who are some of the – give me five or six guys Eagles fans can kind of look forward to potentially in round two.
Alshon Jeffries is an interesting name from South Carolina.
Does he run well enough to get open in the NFL?
Yes, I think
Ruben
he does.
Ruben Randall runs.
Yep.
He's more fluid.
How big is he?
6'2" Ruben Randall.
I think that's
– How tall is Jeffrey?
6'2" 225
pounds. Not as fluid as Randall, though.
Levante David, the linebacker from Nebraska, played inside, but I think he can play strong side linebacker in the NFL. I like him a lot. I mentioned Dennard, the defensive corner from Nebraska. There are three names right at the top of my head that I kind of like.
All right. Well, guys, we have a long way to go tomorrow. A long way to go tonight. We're going to hear from Andy Reid still. We're going to hear from some fans. We've got to get to some fan phone calls. They've been waiting patiently, 215-339-6709. Let's take a little break. We'll give you guys a little few moments to get a glass of water. We'll come back later on. And our draft coverage marches on here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
Yeah, he's a rescue dog. Name's Wego. What
kind of name is that?
Call him.
Here we go.
Wow, wow, wow.
No.
Yep.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go.
It's the sure sign of a good time. Just right taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Teva Pharmaceuticals is the proud sponsor of Eagles in the Community. For more information on the program, click the Community tab right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We had a great 2011 and look forward to an even better 2012. Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Eagles in the Community.
On June 9th, all the kings of power are coming. The events all fights, Monster Jazz, Path of Destruction. 16 Monster Jam superstars tear up Philadelphia, including world champions Medusa, Monster Mutt, El Toro Loco. Direct from his world finals win, 10-time world champion Maximum Destruction, driven by Tom Metz. And back for his 30th anniversary celebration, 4-time world champion Breathe In, driven by Dennis Anderson. Plus, his seats are still just $10. June 9th, Lincoln Financial Field.
Eagles Draft Live, presented by Philadelphia's own Dietz & Watson. Score all season long with delicious grilling recipes like the Philly Frank, Texas Chili Dog, barbecue sausage skewers, and many more.
We're the mother of all meats.
We want to protect the house.
Right.
But
home security systems can be really expensive. So to save money, we actually just adopted a rescue panther. We find that we don't need to sleep that much.
There's an easier way to save. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Whoa, whoa.
The Philadelphia Eagles select.
I had made my dream come true, and now was my time to keep it alive.
Those are memories that can't be taken away.
When I first saw the number pop up, it was a 215 area code, and I was so surprised. I didn't know where it was from, who it was, and then it was the Eagles, and they said they were going to draft me, and I was so excited. My family was excited. I've never been to Philadelphia. I know it was a great town, a great football town, and I'm just so glad I came here.
Man, I didn't know what to say. I was just ready, you know, for the next step, and the next step was come here the next day. I was like, I'm ready to go. He was like, all right, well, you'll be here tomorrow. And they basically prepped me like, you know, you're going to have the press conference and all this stuff, and we have a schedule for you. Just enjoy yourself, you know, and enjoy your family tonight. And, you know, that's what I did. I enjoyed myself. And, you know, I was ready to go.
When I got the phone call, I didn't tell anybody in my house, you know, any of my family or friends. I actually walked outside and figured I'd let them, you know, see my name announced on TV and let them experience it like that. And so I was outside talking on the phone, and all of a sudden I hear the house erupt, and my mom basically kicks the door down and comes out there and grabs me and literally chokes me. You know, she's yelling at the top of her lungs, you know, you got drafted and all that. So it was an exciting time.
We were on the phone with the Steelers, actually, when the Eagles called and said they were going to draft me, because the Steelers had to pick two picks later, and they told my agent they were going to draft me. And then all of a sudden I got the call from the Eagles that said they were going to draft me. I was so excited. And I got on the phone, and I'm telling everybody that I'm about to get drafted, and nobody's paying attention. Everybody's drinking and smiling and just talking. And I know that I'm drafted, and I'm trying to tell everybody, and nobody realizes it until it pops up on the screen, and everybody started freaking out.
I was actually taking a nap. You know, I was waiting a long time. I was a little bit tired, so I actually took a little. I was actually taking a little nap.
Still on the board. Welcome back, everyone, to Eagles Live. Adam Kaplan with a great Mel Reese. And Merle, we were talking earlier about kind of your wish list.
Yeah.
I have to think that the great Fletcher Cox was right there.
Was he not? He was. I'll show you my wish list that I brought in here.
Uh-huh.
I had Luke Kuechly and Fletcher
Cox.
This
is Merle, by the way. This is Merle's own personal draft board.
Yeah. It's okay. My own personal little list.
You stuck to your board.
Right here. You can see it.
Number one, Luke Kuechly, who went before the Eagles. Fletcher Cox, number two.
That was it, right?
Pretty
there.
Good.
Yeah.
Every year that you do this, do they not hit one, two, or three? Is it kind of, again, this is your wish list, not theirs.
This is my wish list.
Right.
And I'm usually unsatisfied.
And you're
no,
being
that doesn't mean that doesn't right. mean that they haven't right. made great draft picks.
Right.
Let's face it. There's no way that I would have expected that they were going to be able to pick Jeremy Maclin. But if I had had a wish list and thought Jeremy Maclin could even, you know, be anywhere near there,
right.
sure.
Right, and again, you never know what's going to happen. The unpredictability part about it is why the draft is so great. I mean, this is totally unexpected. You made a great point earlier. Once the Chiefs took Dontari Poe, and Andy Reid talked about it, he made a great point, they suspected that the Chiefs were looking for a nose tackle, not a five technique, which is a DN and a 3-4. Great call by Andy. Good call by you. So that dropped Fletcher Cox to 12. But what was Seattle thinking? They don't take Fletcher Cox. Apparently, Cox was talking about it in an interview. They were all over him. They were calling him constantly. But they traded out with the Eagles.
I don't understand that. There's a lot of things you don't understand in a draft.
Right.
You don't understand where a team like, well, Oakland was Oakland with the late Al Davis when they took Darius Heyward-Bey. And that's how the Eagles got Jeremy Maclin.
Sometimes.
So you take a case like this. There are two things that had to happen. Number one, Miami had to do what they did and took the quarterback, took Ryan Tannehill, mm-hmm. which I think is a real, real chancy move to take someone who is as inexperienced as he is and try to develop him. He could be several seasons away. But they took him. They took him. The owner wanted him, and apparently Mike Sherman, who was his coach at A&M, he wanted him. So there he is. So that was a player not ranked in the top 10 by a lot of people. And then, of course, Dontario Poe. I would be very wary of a player like Dontario Poe because his resume does not show that kind of production. If you look at the films of him playing at Memphis, you have a hard time finding him as an outstanding player. He wasn't a player who really stepped up and really made a big, big mark. I don't know.
Dontario Poe is a really interesting guy, but I pegged him to go late. I had him pegged to go in the 20s, but, you know.
I mean, what is his biggest achievement? The Underwear Olympics, right?
Merrill, I was there, and my mouth dropped. I've never seen a big man 340 move like that, but you just hit it. It's in his shorts and a T-shirt. That's not real football, but they've scouted on the Chiefs. Hey, he's going to start at nose tackle.
He could find the right coach and the right system and really come into his own.
Sure.
He can be a who knows?
We'll see.
But he could also be a bust. I don't think any player in the National Football League, you choose anybody and things can happen. Injuries can come your way. The player can turn sour because of contract negotiations. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that can happen to a college player trying to make the transition to football's highest level. But I think that this pick of Fletcher Cox has the least amount of risk of any pick the Eagles could have possibly made.
Before we take Tucker in L.A., thank you for holding. I talked to his representatives, I guess, within the last 24 hours, just to get an idea, just in case the Eagles got him, what kind of kid are we talking about here? And one of his representatives said, and he didn't want to, you know, say anything bad about any of their other guys. He said, this is my favorite guy. He's a gentleman. He's a hard worker. He appreciates where he's come from. And you heard Jim Washburn say earlier today in our draft coverage what a great kid he is, and they did their homework on him. And it's rare that it's like the perfect storm. Everything worked out here, but now he's got to play. So let's talk to our good friend Tucker in L.A. We thank you for holding, and you've got to be happy out there in L.A.
Fletcher Cox, that's all I've been talking about for the last 3 weeks.
I think all of us, Tucker, have been talking about it, but we never really thought it could happen. Did you think it could happen?
Well, what I was seeing Todd McShay kept talking about 7 and saying that we were going to move with the Jaguars, when I was just cringing at that because I knew to move up to 7 we'd have to give up too much. And I'm glad we didn't. I'm glad we were able to wait a little bit and not have to give up that third round pick, which we probably would have had to give up to move into the 7th spot.
And you know, we ever talk about Howie Roseman. He held his ground. I guess he told Dave Spadaro earlier they were not going to trade up to 10. That the earliest they would go to 11. That's incredible knowledge of how the draft board works and to know when to hold him and when to fold him. I mean, he's great at it. Great at it.
I got to ask you
sure.
about, right? Okay.
Sure.
Just three guys. Okay. Keenan Robinson. What do you think of him?
I didn't hear the first name.
Keenan
Robinson.
Were we talking about the corner?
No, out of Texas, a linebacker.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. I thought the corner. I was talking about the corner from UCF. Yeah. He's a third round guy. Yeah,
I'm thinking him.
Yeah, we talked about him earlier this week, did we not?
You want a linebacker?
Yeah, we'll do a little bit. And then I think I like the kid. I know. I don't know what it is. What is it about this kid from North Carolina? I mean, all the measurables says he's good. Why does he? But how come everyone is so wary of taking him?
Yeah,
why
Zach is he, Brown, why Tucker, Merrill, he's talking about Zach Brown, the outside linebacker from UNC. He's a tremendous prospect from a speed size ratio. Tape's very inconsistent. You know, he's a guy that some teams have rated as a third-round grade because he's just way too inconsistent. They have a problem with that. But
you know, Billy Werndell sees all these kids as a spotter for ESPN, and he sees them often. And the outside linebacker that Billy raved about, and I put a lot of stock in his evaluation, the kid from Nebraska, Levante David.
Yeah. Strong side guy. He'll be a strong side guy.
Second, if you can, I think.
Yeah, well, listen.
And the last guy I wanted to say was this, then I'll let you guys go. I know a lot of people want to get in. I say you take a chance on that kid Jenkins, and here's why. That cornerback.
Janoris Jenkins,
why.
Yes.
Let me just give you a quick reason why. First of all, I think there's great stability within the Eagles organization. Stability from top to bottom. There's a lot of no-nonsense, you know, Howard Musk, guys, just a lot of no-nonsense guys.
Right, so bringing in one guy like that's not going to make a difference, right?
Did you ever hear
of Terrell Owens?
Michael Vick, that he can look up to, can teach this guy. I mean, he's such a great talent. I mean, if you can grab him.
Can I tell you something? When the Eagles brought in Terrell Owens as a free agent, I said, you know what? This is such a solid group of guys. No personality problems. How is one guy going to wreck a locker room? In my 102 seasons of broadcasting these games, I have never seen one guy so totally throw a locker room out of kilter, cause so much dissension, confusion, and unrest. He wrecked the team single-handedly.
But here's the difference. You have to admit there's one little difference, Mr. Reese. The difference is that he was already a known commodity. He was already a superstar. He was already on the cover of video games. He wasn't a young, fresh pup. Now, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. This kid is young. He's 21 years old. I just think there's a little difference.
And you might be right.
Y'all doing a great job. Keep it up.
Thanks for the call, Tucker.
Thank you. The funny thing is I was speaking with Dan Shaka earlier
tonight. Sure, from our lads.
Dan's our lads, but he was an Eagles scout when Donovan McNabb was drafted.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He was with the Redskins. He was with the Chiefs.
And
he had a great line. He said that Janoris Jenkins has more red flags than the Chinese Army.
Oh, man. It's, you know, being a father of 20, he's got four kids. Off-the-field issues, marijuana, the major rap sheet on him. It's hard. And not only do you have to have a good locker room, Merrill, this one GM told me you need a psychologist because you have to see what he's thinking about himself. Can he handle all the pressure with a lot of money at a young age and being a father and handling all this is a lot to deal with.
Do you want to go through what various teams went through with Pac-Man Jones?
Similar. That's a great point. He's very similar, of course. Jenkins, the good thing is does not have a violent past like Jones had. But more calls on our draft coverage. Let's talk to Brandon in New Jersey. Brandon, how are you?
Hey, Adam, how you doing? And Mel Reese, I got great respect for you guys, first of all.
Thank you.
I
just wanted to say I love the pick. And the first guy I asked a question you just answered about Janoris Jenkins. But I got a couple questions. Why are guys like Fleener and Hill and Upshaw still on the board, and what do you think the chances are they could slide?
No. Courtney Upshaw was taken. He went to the Chargers, I think. Wait, did
oh,
he
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay.
Courtney Upshaw taken?
No. He was not? Oh, Melvin Ingram. I'm sorry. Courtney Upshaw's still on the board. Wow, good
what.
Call.
David Wilson just went
to the Giants. Is that correct? Am I really? Okay. It looks like David Wilson, our guys are telling us, went to the Giants. That's a good pick. So, Brandon, what else is on your mind?
Yeah, Courtney Upshaw, Stephen Hill, and of course Fleener. Like Fleener, I don't understand how he's still on the board.
You know, this is where I thought he would go, but I'll be honest with you, Courtney Upshaw. Holy smokes! I gotta wonder what is going on here.
I'll tell you what, I would not hesitate to pick him.
Got to. It comes from a great program, very productive player. It's been a weird draft. Some of the best players in the draft were supposed to go in the top 10 to 12, dropped significantly. DeCastro dropped it to, I think the Steelers are 24, which is a shocker. So,
are you surprised that Mark Barron went as high as he did?
You know, this is a great discussion earlier. Sometimes when you trade up for the best player at his position in the draft, he's not quite that good of a player. He just has to be the best player at that position.
Yeah, and that was a position that was considered weak.
It is. It's the weakest position, but he's a strong safety. He's an in-the-box guy. The Buccaneers' safety position is awful. Really bad. They don't have a very good secondary. They're trying to rebuild their defense under Greg Schiano. They're going to play multiple schemes. I get it. It's a smart pick. But listen, they're a young team, Merrill, and they're trying to rebuild. That one was not a shocker to me, but it was just the fact that these guys dropped.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Melvin Ingram to the Chargers, I thought he'd go at 9. Now, one other thing a friend of mine brought up to me, he said, you forgot to talk about the fact that Carolina didn't take Fletcher Cox. Carolina had abominable against the run. They had real problems at D-tackle. I thought for sure they wouldn't pass up on him.
But they took the other guy.
Luke Kuechly. Now they had John Beason.
And he's a terrific player.
Beason was hurt last season. I get that. They lost Dan Connor. And they've got a defensive-minded head coach in Ron Rivera. And, of course, they've got Sean McDermott. So I get that. But
Dan Connor signed with whom? The Redskins?
The Dallas Cowboys.
The Cowboys.
Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly. So, Brandon, anything else on your mind tonight?
the other guy, I noticed you said that Stephen Hill is, that's the earliest he would get picked is at 49ers. Yeah. And I just want to know why, why did they go with the other guy instead of him? You know what I mean? I feel that the guy that they picked is more like Michael Crabtree, and after Randy Moss gets done this year, you still need that.
Hey, who did the Niners take, guys? Know? They took a receiver?
I forget, actually.
Who did they take? Oh, A.J. Jenkins is a really good football player, but I thought he'd go middle to late second. Right. He could run. Now, that's the thing. He's very fluid, and he could run. Stephen Hill, he does not have the playing experience and the productivity. You know, now, the Niners, I thought, because they could afford to take a guy a little earlier, because when you're finished, you know, I've used this analogy before, Merrill. The L.A. Lakers would always take a guy you either never heard of, or they take a guy what some people would call reach, but they kept winning championships. You could take a guy late and just work him in. Andrew Bynum is the latest example of that. Well, you look at what the 49ers did here. They took a guy that some people thought should have been way later, middle second, late second, but you see the way that they're drafting. They've drafted terrifically the last two seasons, Philadelphia's own Tommy Gamble and, of course, Trent Baalke. And look what they've done in 1 year. They went from being one of the worst teams in the National Football League to one of the best. Isn't it amazing?
Well, it's not that amazing,
okay,
because the thing that made such a big impact was not their draft, but it was Jim Harbaugh. Yeah. It was Jim Harbaugh changed the whole culture of that organization, and nobody could do anything with Alex Smith. He had been through a myriad of offensive coordinators and head coaches. Yeah. And then you bring in Jim Harbaugh, who really knows how to coach.
And how about this?
He did a great job.
He went on record right after he got the job and said, I want Alex Smith, after everyone said he's not coming back. I mean, that is bold, and he stuck his neck out there. That's a great point. Anything else, Brandon?
No, I just wanted to say thanks for taking my call, and I'll get off so I don't take up anybody else's time. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks very much, Brandon. Great call. You're watching our coverage at PhiladelphiaEagles.com on Eagles Live. Been a great show so far. Lots of surprises. We'll be back right after this. You're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. I had no idea what...
Mother's Day, get the Droid Razor by Motorola. Only $99.99. The lowest price ever. Verizon.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of long weekends and longer retirements. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
You know, weight loss programs can be expensive, so to save some money, I just got the popular girls from the local middle school to follow me around.
Ew, seriously?
So gross.
Ew, seriously?
That is so gross.
Ew, seriously?
Dude, that is so totally gross.
Sign up.
There's an easier way to save. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Made my dream come true, and now it's my time to keep it alive.
Those are memories that can't be taken away. It was always my plan to play in the NFL at some point or another. Never thought I would be drafted in the first round, so I went to Virginia Tech with the intentions of just being a consistent football player, a game changer in a sense. Whenever I had the opportunity, but I always thought things would happen a little later on in my career, not as early. So the process was just expedited a little bit, and I was kind of forced into the action, and I played so good. You know, my first year in minicamp, that they gave me an opportunity to start. And when I made the decision to come out in 2001, you know, you hear so many comments from the critics, from the fans, as far as what you can do and what you're capable of doing at that particular moment. And I really felt like I was ready for the NFL from a physical standpoint, but not a mental standpoint. So there was a lot of things and a lot of variables that played a factor in my decision-making. But in the end, it was my belief in myself that I could do it and can adjust and adapt to any situation on a football field, regardless of who was out there. So I just really felt confident in my skills and believed in myself, and just had an attitude of going out and being the best. And I think that was a carryover from college to the NFL, and I think it helped me. Pretty much the whole time I knew I was going to go first, I felt like I was the best player in the draft. There was a lot of good players that came out my year. Drew Brees, LaDainian Tomlinson, just a great lineage of guys who were great in this profession and in the NFL and had very long careers. And I just felt like I was one of the top guys and knew I would be in the top five. But pretty much you get the word where you're going to go. And I thought it was going to be San Diego, but I ended up going to Atlanta with the last-minute trade. Atlanta told me that they was moving up to get me number one the night before the draft. So up until that Friday night at 10 o'clock p.m., I thought I was going to San Diego. And got a call, you know, at 10 o'clock at night that I was going to Atlanta, and the trade had been made, and then Dan Reeves was adamant about his decision. And from that point on, I went to Atlanta and kind of took off and was able to be around a coach who had a lot of experience with John Elway and a lot of other great quarterbacks, and kind of passed the knowledge on to me. You know, everything that happened on draft day was such a blur. You really don't have time to reflect. You got to go with the moment. And you know, so it's a wild process. It can get kind of frantic, but you know, you enjoy every minute of it. You think back on it, look back on it, you know, 5 or 6 years later, and you know, just relish the moment and the experiences that you went through at that time. And those are memories that can't be taken away.
That's a great draft memory, Merrill. Michael Vick recounting some of his
memories from being the first pick in the draft when the Atlanta Falcons took him in the year 2000.
Wasn't there a trade with San Diego that set that up?
Was there? Who was the trade for? Was that...
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that Tomlinson? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, let's take some phone calls here. Justin in Pennsylvania joins us. Hey, Justin.
Hey, what's up, Dave? How are you doing now?
Good, good.
Hi. First off, I just want to say, so I don't like come off in a bad way, is I'm more happy after this round, after this first round, than I was the last 2 years. I just didn't feel that pick. I didn't feel it after the Brandon Graham pick. So I feel happier after this than I did the last 2 years. I think Fletcher Cox could be a real, real impact player. But it's a weird kind of happy because I think when you think first round, top half draft, I just don't think – because I know a lot of people would disagree with me and everything. I consider our defensive line, number one in sacks, a great rotation. I think we have the third best defensive line of football behind the Giants and Lions.
If Brandon Graham lives up to that first round selection and Phillip Hunt improves as much as I think he will, hey, this is going to be one of the better defensive lines, maybe even better than the Giants.
Jim Washburn made a statement tonight, and he says exactly what he thinks. And he said that a lot of people are down on Brandon Graham, but he's not one of them. He said, don't count him out yet.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, let's just assume, this is a really big assumption, but let's assume Fletcher Cox becomes one of the best, not just D-tackle, but defensive line league. Right? That's a huge assumption to make, but happy. I just think that it's better. You better your team more by adding a stud player to a position of need rather than a stud player to a position that's already strong. You get what I'm saying? I compare it like, let's add Larry Fitzgerald to our wide receiver core. Great, wow, but our wide receiver core was already strong. You know what I mean? I just wanted Barron a little bit more. I wanted Kuechly or Kuechly or how you say his name a little bit more.
Luke Kuechly, but you know what? And as much as I like Luke Kuechly, they added the middle linebacker in D'Amico Ryans,
right,
who is an outstanding player. They just did it in a different way. They didn't do it through the draft. But I felt Kuechly or Cox would be a great pick for this football team. I thought that they could move up to take Kuechly. I honestly believe that Cox was going to be out of reach. I thought that he would be a top five or six guy. Dave, did you?
Well, I think Cox is a bigger addition to this team. I think it means a lot more to have a stud defensive lineman than a outstanding linebacker. I mean, and whether Kuechly, a middle linebacker,
tell that to Lawrence Taylor.
Well, but it's not. He's not coming in to be a rush defensive end kind of linebacker. It's a 4-3 defense. He would have to make the transition, Kuechly, from middle linebacker potentially to strong side. So, I think you wanted to get tougher up the middle. You got the guy you love in Cox, and we'll see how he fills the
yeah,
into the
I,
rotation
I mean, I'm
here.
Thrilled. I'm thrilled yeah. with yeah, Cox.
I mean, huge. I think Cox is going to be a great player. And everything. I was just looking for more. Like, you look over your whole roster, just trying to level it out with good talent as best as you can. And just, I'd rather have improved a weak spot rather than, like, overkill. Because, I mean, last year, our cornerback's position was on overkill.
Yeah,
only so many people in one position could get on the field at the same time.
It's different though here because you're rotating players in. You're not the problem last year at cornerback was putting Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie into the slot did not work. So what you can do now, you just run waves. Thank you very much for the phone call, Justin. You're just gonna run waves of defensive linemen at offensive lines and wear them down. So that's what Jim Washburn really wants to do, and Merrill. I think everybody's thrilled about this move, right? You are, aren't you?
I absolutely am. Absolutely. And I would tell you if I was questioning it or I was lukewarm, I told you. I held up my little card here and I had the two guys at the top on my wish list, Luke Kuechly, Fletcher Cox.
Yeah.
And really, it was 1-1A.
I'm with you. I think that, how many times can we say it? The thing that really impresses me the most here, guys, again, is that the Eagles had a very good finger on the pulse of the draft, knew they didn't have to go into the top 10 to get Cox, or maybe they didn't know that. And maybe it was just a lucky bounce, if you will, that the Kansas City Chiefs took Dontari Poe and Cox was available.
Let me ask you something. How about fill in the blank? This is the least controversial Eagles' first-round draft pick since?
I don't know. Corey Simon?
You know, maybe even Freddie Mitchell. Because but, everybody know, that, was happy when they drafted Freddie Mitchell.
Yeah.
We didn't know that Reggie Wayne
was
out there.
Right.
Well, we didn't know that Fred X was a little bit...
Thank you, hands. Hey, we have a caller by the name of Calvin who's calling from, I guess, Fletcher Cox's hometown. Calvin, where are you from?
Yes, I'm from Yazoo City, Mississippi.
All right, so a hometown friend of yours makes it to the Philadelphia Eagles. Tell us what you know about him.
Fletcher Cox, he's from here in Yazoo City, Mississippi. Matter of fact, I'm a barber here in Yazoo City, and a lot of talk of him, you know, goes on in the barbershop.
Okay, well, what's everybody saying about him?
That he has nice hair?
Yeah.
Say again.
Yeah, turn your speaker down if you don't mind. What does his hometown think of him?
They think that he's a great player. Actually, people were here, it's a Dallas Cowboy fan, and most of the people here is from Dallas Cowboys, and they was hoping that he would go to Dallas. And I'm like, you know, get with my back against the wall, I'm a Philadelphia Eagle fan to my heart. You know, I've been here for 14, 15 years. And, you know, for Fletcher Cox to go to Philadelphia Eagles, it's a big thing. Everybody here now wants to turn over and jump the bandwagon and be a Philadelphia Eagle fan instead of a Dallas Cowboy.
Hey, I like that. We welcome to PhiladelphiaEagles.com, then make sure you send him our way. Tell me about him as a kid. Was he just a dominating football player growing up?
A dominating football player. And what's most important is, you know, his background. He comes from a great family. You know, he has a wonderful heart. You know, he's a player that's willing to learn, and, you know, he listens well, and, you know, he's one that's ready to grow.
Yeah. Was he a player who you watched in high school and he stood out even then, and you say, you know, this is a guy who could go on someday to play on Sundays?
Oh yeah. I mean, he played here for Yazoo City High School, and he was even dominated here in high school, you know, and there was a lot of talk about him, you know, his future maybe going further than college football, even into NFL.
Did he play any offense then?
Say again?
Did he play any offense then?
They kind of switched him around and kind of moved him around, but mostly, you know, most of the coaches saw his fit as a, you know, on that defensive line, what he can do.
Yeah. Well, hey, great. Hey, Calvin, thank you so much for the phone call. That's nice to hear. And stay with us, and let's follow Fletcher Cox's career together.
Okay, thanks very much.
All right, very good stuff. Hey, we're going to end the show on that. That's a great way to end the call. And we thank you very much for the phone call. We're back tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Now they're going to bring Fletcher Cox in from New York City, so we'll get a chance to meet him. His press conference will be carried live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And then it's a long night tomorrow, 6 o'clock until the end of the round three. Eagles have two picks in round two, 46 and 51. What will they do, Merrill Reese?
Tough to tell. I can give you a couple of names. I like the linebacker from Nebraska, Levante David, and I would not be against them picking up a good running back to add depth in that department.
All right, very good stuff. Merrill, thank you very much. Great job
for
you.
My pleasure. I've enjoyed it, and I love the way the first round turned out.
Yeah, it was great. Everybody loves what the Eagles have done. We've had 3,000 votes on our poll here. If you haven't voted, and 71% say the Eagles grade an A for the first round draft pick, 22% say a B. So you might be right, Merrill. This might be the most popular draft pick that in the first round that we can ever remember. You know,
yeah, and those who didn't vote were Dallas Cowboys fans.
Well, they voted, but 2% gave a D, so that kind of makes no sense. All right, for Merrill Reese, I'm Dave Spadaro. We thank you for joining us. Thanks to the staff here within our great organization, the Philadelphia Eagles, PhiladelphiaEagles.com, doing a terrific job. Bill Werndell, Adam Kaplan, Tony Pauline up in New York, E-Rock doing a fantastic job up there as well, getting Fletcher Cox on the air here first on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Yeah, and Bo and Chris, they're in the staff, and everyone here, everyone in the room. Give yourselves a big hand, boys, all right? Great stuff. Thanks for joining us, guys. We're back at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Eagles Draft Live, presented by Deetson Watson.
Good night.
Seattle has traded the 12th pick to Philadelphia. With the 12th pick in the 2012 NFL Draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select Fletcher Cox, defensive tackle, Mississippi.